At the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
The abuse started just after we started dating and got worse. I thought I should stay to keep our family together. But the situation at home is affecting my children and my job. My name is Keisha, and I am a survivor of domestic violence. I now take care of my children and go to work without the fear and stress due to abuse. I reached out for help when I needed it, and you can too. If you or someone you care about needs support at home or in the workplace, please call the Domestic Violence Confidential Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. That call changed my life.
If you are a victim of domestic violence, there is help available, and it's just a phone call away. The Domestic Violence Confidential toll-free hotline number again is 1-800-799-SAFE. This message brought to you by the State of Illinois and this station.
Why do black Americans shy away from the Republican Party? Is it because the black voters are sick and tired of the GOP playing on racial fears and hatred to get the support of white conservatives? Which party consistently opposes making Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday? Will the hurricane disaster forever doom the Republicans from any support from people of color? Some questions to consider when Professor Michael Fauntroy joins Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning at 9 to look at America's changing political landscape.
Since 1998, Father Support Center St. Louis has been improving children's lives, strengthening families, and impacting communities by providing programs that effectively connect parents and children. Through a comprehensive array of services, non-custodial fathers attain skills in parenting, employment preparation, conflict resolution, family formation, communication, and financial and emotional responsibility. For additional information and next class dates, call 314-333-4170, extension 101.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty, working in the yard or gardening, you should know that you could get a serious, even fatal disease, tetanus. Because all it takes is an open wound, a scratch, a cut, or even a small splinter. And the tetanus bacteria in this, the soil in your yard. Maybe you were vaccinated as a child, but childhood vaccines wear off. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries, but you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. Contact your healthcare provider to find out if your vaccination is up to date. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit www.nfid.org.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush would be held
responsible. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Last week, we told you about the FEMA plan to use a company named SCI to recover bodies in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It was public knowledge that the company had been sued for mishandling corpses in the past. So why use them again? Of course, the head of the company's donation of $100,000 to the George Bush Senior Presidential Library had nothing to do with it, right? We dig deeper into this story with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-0400. 6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me, revolution@lizbrown.com, lizbrown.com. Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. There's been some crazy things that have happened as a result of this flood. I every day, there's something different. Every day, there's something different. Senator John Kerry, giving a speech on September 19th, that would be yesterday. And he's at Brown University. Maybe that's the explanation, because it's Brown. Here are some of his words. This horrifying disaster has shown Americans at their best and their government at its worst. And that's what I've come to talk to you about today. The incompetence of Katrina's response is not reserved to a hurricane. There is an enormous gap between Americans' daily expectations and government's daily performance. And the gap is growing between the enduring strength of the American people, their values, their spirit, their imagination, their ingenuity, their willingness to serve and sacrifice, and the shocking weakness of the American government in contending with our country's urgent challenges. Katrina stripped away any image of competence and exposed to all the true heart and nature of this administration. The truth is, for 4.5 years, real life choices have been replaced by ideological agenda. Substance has been replaced by spin. Governance has taken a second place always to politics. Yes, says John Kerry, they can run a good campaign. I can attest to that. But check this out. John Kerry said, but America needs more than a campaign. If a 12-year-old Boy Scout can be prepared, Americans have the right to expect the same from their 59-year-old president of the United States. Ouch. Who is this man and what did you do with John Kerry? Today, more than ever, when the path taken last year and 4 years earlier takes us into a wilderness of missed opportunities. I know the president went on national TV last week and accepted responsibility for Washington's poor response to Katrina. That's admirable. And it's a first. This is John Kerry talking. As they say, check this out. This is what John Kerry said. As they say, the first step towards recovery is to get out of denial. But don't hold your breath hoping acceptance of responsibility will become a habit for this administration. On the other hand, if they are up to another accountability moment, they ought to start by admitting one or two countless mistakes in conceiving, selling, planning, and executing their war of choice in Iraq. I obviously don't expect that to happen. This is John Kerry. I'm telling you, he's at Brown University. He couldn't help himself. Couldn't help himself. This is about a broader pattern of incompetence and negligence that Katrina exposed. And beyond that, a truly systematic effort to distort and disable the people's government, and to devote it to the interests of the privileged and powerful. It is about the betrayal of trust and the abuse of power. And in all the horrible and sometimes ennobling sights and sounds we have witnessed over the last 2 weeks, there's another sound just under the surface. The steady clucking of administration chickens coming home to roast. What the? Did he dig up Malcolm X? What did he do? Who is this man? These are the words coming out the mouth of John Kerry.
on Monday. These are the words coming out the mouth of John Kerry. He said, chickens coming home to roost. Did he eat some peanuts, fall on his head, and get straight? I mean, I don't understand this. This is John Kerry. I wish you had said this during the election. I wish you had taken the advice of your advisor saying you need to make a commercial. You need to make a commercial of you getting the Medal of Honor and George W. Bush in his cheerleader outfit. And then you should have said, this is what that John Kerry did during his 20s or when he was in college. And this is what George W. Bush did. Who should lead this country? The cheerleader or the hero? Drunken cheerleader, I might add. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We wouldn't be hearing the sound of the steady clucking of the administration chickens coming to roost if the people in Washington running our government had cared to listen in the past. They didn't listen to the Army Corps of Engineers when they insisted that the levees be reinforced. They didn't listen to the countless experts who warned this exact disaster scenario would happen. They didn't listen to the years of urgent pleadings by Louisianans about the consequences of wetland erosion in the region, which exposed New Orleans and the surrounding parishes to even greater damage and flooding in a hurricane. They didn't listen when the disaster simulation just last year showed that hundreds of thousands of people would be trapped and they'd have no way to evacuate New Orleans. They didn't listen when Katrina approached the Gulf and every newspaper in America warned this could be the big one that Louisianans long dreaded. They didn't even abandon their vacations. Ouch, who is this man? John Kerry goes on to say yesterday, and the rush now to camouflage their misjudgment and inaction with money doesn't mean that they are suddenly listening. Ouch. It's still politics as usual. The plan they've designed for the Gulf Coast turns the region into a vast laboratory for right-wing ideological experiments. I want to know who wrote this speech. Because that's an incredible line. The plan they're designing for the Gulf Coast turns the region into a vast laboratory for right-wing ideological experiments. They're already talking about private school vouchers, abandonment of environmental regulations, abolition of wage standards, subsidies for big industries, and believe it or not, another big round of tax cuts for the wealthiest amongst us. The administration is recycling all of their failed policies and shipping them to Louisiana. And, ooh, I want to meet the speechwriter who did this. Check this out. This is what John Kerry said out of his mouth. The administration is recycling all of their failed policies and shipping them to Louisiana. After 4 years of ideological excess, these Washington Republicans have a bad hangover. And they can't think of anything to offer the Gulf Coast but the hair of the dog that bit them. I want to meet the man or woman who wrote this speech. Oh, who is this? And amazingly, says John Kerry, or perhaps not, given who we're dealing with, this massive reconstruction project will be overseen not by a team of experienced city planners or developers, but, according to the New York Times, the chief of politics in the White House and the Republican Party, none other than Karl Rove, barring, of course, that he is indicted for outing, an undercover CIA intelligence officer. Katrina, says John Kerry, is a symbol of all this administration does and doesn't do. Michael Brown, or Brownie, as the president so famously thanked him for doing a heck of a job, Brownie is to Katrina what Paul Bremer is to peace in Iraq. Damn. What George Tenet is to slam dunk intelligence. what Paul Wolfowitz is to parades paved with flowers in Baghdad. Oh, my God. And what Dick Cheney is to visionary energy policy. What Donald Rumsfeld is to basic war planning, what Tom DeLay is to ethics, and what George Bush is to mission accomplished and wanted dead or alive. Lord have mercy. The bottom line is simple. The quote, we'll do whatever it takes administration doesn't have what it takes to get the job done. This is the Katrina administration. Somebody get that boy a chocolate. Job well done. Wish you had done it earlier. Woo! Woo! This is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. That was John Kerry. That was John Kerry. Woo! Woo! Check outside. See if the moon is full. Got to be an explanation for this. Maybe they've done what we've speculated on the wake-up call has to happen. Maybe John Kerry has reached his political bottom, and now he's ready to fight back up. I don't know. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morgan with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Mr. Vincent's Subs and Pastas. There are several traffic signals out in the St. Louis area. MoDOT reminds motorists state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals. The I-70 reversible lanes are close to the end of the month for maintenance work. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and Loughborough, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Sappington looks for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from Blues Crossing all the way into Spady, everything's good. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to the Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall, expect slow traffic this hour. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to New Florissant, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 at Missouri's last exit, which is Broadway. Look for construction having that exit ramp closed, and you can use 11th Street to get around there. Westbound 5570 between 64 and Poplar Street Bridge. You have heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64, 5570 merge. Look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be flowing freely. And northbound Route 3 ramp onto Poplar Street Bridge is normal this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas. Mr. Good Sense is now serving hot ones. Try a hot roast beef and cheddar, hot pastrami and Swiss, or a hot Philly jack steak sub. Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas, home of the hot ones, serving hot ones all 14 locations. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy today. High in the upper 80s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High near 90 Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee, invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th, he's black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March.
Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live. Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public.
The Millions More Movement is peace and unity.
United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance.
The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C.
For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191. Farrakhan Live.
You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to MMXSt.org.
I need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Why do black Americans shy away from the Republican Party? Is it because the black voters are sick and tired of the GOP playing on racial fears and hatred to get the support of white conservatives? Which party consistently opposes making Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday? Will the hurricane disaster forever doom the Republicans from any support from people of color? Some questions to consider when Professor Michael Fauntroy joins Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning at 9 to look at America's changing political landscape.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Last week, we told you about the FEMA plan to use a company named SCI to recover bodies in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It was public knowledge that the company had been sued for mishandling corpses in the past. So why use them again? Of course, the head of the company's donation of $100,000 to the George Bush Senior Presidential Library had nothing to do with it, right? We dig deeper into this story with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget we broadcast live every single day on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. From Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can catch the Wake Up Call. So LizBrown.com, LizBrown.com, and Revolution at LizBrown.com. And don't forget, we're also archived on the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. You need to, if you miss an hour, you can go get an hour. And don't forget, they're in the middle of a fundraising effort. Every penny helps. It's wonderful being up there. So support those who support us. We've been talking about this incredible, shocking, almost stupefying, if you will, speech by Senator John Kerry. I mean, who is this man and what did you do with John Kerry, actually talking about the issues that truly confront this country? Katrina has done a whole lot. Katrina has, in the aftermath of all of the economic damage, in the aftermath of all of the extraordinary loss of lives, needless loss of lives, many lives, Katrina is doing something else. It is truly ripping away the issues of race, or the protection and the walls that have been put up to shield people from the things, some of the things that this country does best. And that is the consistent legacy of racism in this country. Been doing it for a long time and been doing it effectively for a long time. Race and class. Will Katrina make people take a look at class? Make people take a look at race? Well, as long as the door is cracked open, I say let's push on through. Mississippi was hit. The South was hit. Alabama was hit. You wouldn't know it from Condoleezza Rice's not wanting to give a break to her shopping. Condoleezza Rice says it wasn't about race and it wasn't about class, but I don't know. Let's take a look at Alabama and see if things are about race, if things are about class. And the best way to examine the United States, if it's about race, if it's about class, is let's see how you treat those that are most vulnerable. Poor people who have been accused of a crime. No, let's go a little step further. Poor people that are accused of a capital crime. To talk about this, I have joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call journalist Nancy Goldstein. She's with rawstory.com, and she writes an editorial for that site. She's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Nancy, good morning. Good morning.
Liz, good morning. I'm having some trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's
okay,
good.
Great.
Thank you very much for having me on the Wake Up Call.
My pleasure. If you are a poor person accused of color and accused of a capital crime in Alabama, how are you going to do?
If you're a poor person of color accused of a capital crime in Alabama, there's not much that stands between you and the death penalty, frankly. Alabama has a very, very bad habit. It's sentenced more people to death per capita than any other state in the country in the last few years, with an overall death sentencing rate that's three to ten times greater, actually, than other southern states, and most of them are poor and black.
Mm. And what is the reason for this?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. I mean, obviously racism is part of the bottom line, but there's also a system in place that makes fair representation and a fair trial extremely unlikely. For example, the Sixth Amendment gives people a right to counsel, but it doesn't say what that should look like. So there's no statewide public defender system in Alabama.
And that's huge. That is an absolutely, because I was a public defender. I was a special public defender for a number of years. And it is if a person doesn't have a public defender, what kind of attorney are they generally left with? Mostly left with, almost always left with.
Well, they're not left with an attorney like you. You were a public defender because you're committed to it, because you cared about it, because you wanted to represent disadvantaged and disfavored people. But in Alabama, the court appoints a member of the local bar who is resentful that they're making a third of what they'd be making on a real estate case and who probably sees you as a social and an economic liability.
And there's also shame involved in this, too. They don't want their business or them to be described as a person that represents them. Otherwise, they would be representing them.
Well, and there's absolutely, but there's another factor, and that is that judges in Alabama are elected, not appointed, and that means that it's a popularity contest.
And how do you get popular in Alabama if you want to be elected as a judge?
Well, you certainly don't get popular representing poor people of color who've been accused of capital crimes. So there's a lot of disdain for these cases. So frequently, I mean, there's documentation of lawyers falling asleep. There's certainly plenty of documentation of lawyers being underprepared. And the only reason there's any documentation at all is because of organizations like the one I discussed in the article. And that's the Equal Justice Initiative, which is started by Brian Stevenson, who describes himself as a product of Brown versus Board Education. And Brian and his staff represent dozens of the men and women who have been accused of capital crimes. They used to represent juveniles, but as you remember, the Supreme Court came in earlier this year and said that we're not allowed to execute juveniles anymore.
And how many, I mean, we're the last country that has said no, that we don't kill kids.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, people at home can ask themselves, which other five countries execute their own citizens?
Mm.
And are they countries that we usually associate ourselves with? Well, it's Iran, Yemen, Nigeria, and two of our new best friends, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia.
And us.
And us, and the United States. And that's it for people who execute their own citizens. So we have a court system in place here where people are given a lousy defender who actually doesn't want to be on their side.
Well, and it's not even fair to call them a defender. They're an appointed attorney.
Right. They're an attorney for hire.
That's right.
They didn't ask to do this.
And they're not.
And in fact, if they were a better lawyer, they wouldn't be in a position where they'd have to do this.
Mm.
It's a sign that someone is already at the bottom of the legal rung in Alabama. And then they get this case that makes them look bad in terms of their political future. If they ever want to be a judge in Alabama, they can't have a reputation as defending poor people of color defended of capital crimes.
Well, they certainly can't have a reputation of winning them. They certainly can't. You certainly can't win those cases.
It actually gets worse once you step into the courtroom, because chances are that you're going to be the only person of color in it. Alabama's legal system is virtually all white.
I heard Brian Stevenson, who is brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Oh, he is so brilliant. I heard him on a panel once, and he described a situation where he was defending a person on a death penalty case, and it was he and a custodian were the only black people in the courtroom.
That's right, and Brian's not exaggerating. He's not picking the one time that would happen. All 19 of Alabama's appellate court judges are white.
Mm.
Ditto for 41 of its 42 elected district attorneys, and odds are 1 in 3 that your jury will be all white as well.
In the year 2005.
In the year 2005.
In Alabama.
Right. And we have to take a break
right quick here,
sure.
Nancy, and then I want to come back. I want to talk about some more of these statistics in Alabama.
Absolutely.
That absolutely make no sense except for when you consider them under color and under class.
Absolutely.
I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Better wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Don't mind your manners. Better change your phone. Son, you got a lot of blood. We want to do things my way.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The General Accounting Office is expressing concern over one of the latest moves the Bush administration has pulled. Some 250,000 federal employees have had their government-issued credit card line of credit increased from $2,500 to $250,000. The administration asked Congress to include the measure in the Hurricane Katrina relief package that was passed last week, saying this would make getting help to the victims a lot easier. But the GAO thinks this has the possibility for outrageous abuse and fraud. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Charles Grassley is trying to recut the language to limit the credit line to just $50,000. The major problem with the government-issued credit cards is that purchases are billed directly to the government, and there is a long time lag in between the purchase and the payment, leaving a huge window for abuse. Back in 2002, Navy officials used such credit cards to hire hookers, go gambling, and attend professional sporting events. Another employee spent $30,000 on his card, a good portion of which went for a boob job for his girlfriend. And Dateline Rogers, Arkansas. Tyson Foods, the world's largest poultry meat producer, is being sued by a group of black employees. The company is accused of maintaining a segregated break area at its plant in Ashland, Alabama. The complaint alleges that a whites-only sign was posted on a bathroom door, and the door was kept locked with only white employees given a key to it. The workers said when they questioned management about that, the plant manager said the restroom was locked because the black workers were dirty, nasty, and didn't know how to behave. Another complaint raised was that a picture of monkeys was posted in the break room, and the names of black employees were written next to each monkey in the picture. A noose was also said to have been hung up in one of the recreation rooms of the plant. Tyson operates over 100 processing plants in the United States, and earlier this year, the company donated $100,000 to President Bush's inauguration party. The workers are suing in federal court, saying the company violated the 14th Amendment, which enforces equal protection of the law. They also claim their rights under the 1964 Civil Rights Act have also been violated. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9, right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
If you're single, I'd like you to try something. Find three friends or family members and ask them about eHarmony.com. Chances are, you or they know someone that has fallen in love on eHarmony. You might even know one of the thousands that has been married as a result of being matched on eHarmony.
I had some friends who had experienced it, and so I thought, why not give it a shot?
I had a friend of mine say, why don't you give eHarmony a try?
My younger son said, come on, Mom, just try it. What do you have to lose?
Friends and family can be powerful allies when it comes to helping you find the love of your life. So if you're single and curious about eHarmony, ask a friend about us. Or better yet, log on to eHarmony and see for yourself why eHarmony has become the number one relationship site. Do it today and you'll get your $40 personality profile absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Last week, we told you about the FEMA plan to use a company named SCI to recover bodies in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It was public knowledge that the company had been sued for mishandling corpses in the past. So why use them again? Of course, the head of the company's donation of $100,000 to the George Bush Senior Presidential Library had nothing to do with it, right? We dig deeper into this story with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Golden hair, and it's gathering into my replace.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. We are talking about Sweet Home, Alabama, capital punishment, the story of class and race as it plays itself out on a daily basis here in the United States. When we're having this conversation with journalist Nancy Goldstein, she's with rawstory.com. She writes an editorial for that site. She's joining us from Brooklyn. And Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
Let's talk some more about the statistics, the dreadful statistics coming out of Alabama.
Well, the statistics are pretty horrifying. Though black people account for only 26% of Alabama's population overall, nearly 63% of its prisoners are black.
Mm.
Of the 23 people executed in Alabama between 1975, when the death penalty returned, and 2001, 70% were black.
And were any of them executed for killing a black person?
Well, mostly there's also a disproportion there. I don't have the statistics mm-hmm. right in front of me, but no, people of color are disproportionately executed or sentenced to death for killing white people,
mm.
right, whereas the reverse, you know, the statistics are far lower.
And in terms of once they are convicted, because in Missouri, well, I never did death penalty cases. I never practiced that part of criminal when I was a public defender. And it requires an extraordinary expertise. We have you have a death penalty attorney. There are two or three other attorneys that are on the case because it's such a difficult case and it's such an important case to defend somebody on. When a person in Alabama is convicted, and we also have an incredible appellate process afterwards, once a person in Alabama is convicted of the death penalty, are they represented on the appellate level?
Once a person is convicted, they have no right to counsel. If the judge grants it to them, there's a $1,000 cap on what their lawyer can be paid. Liz, do you remember how many hours you put into cases? What does $1,000 come to?
$1,000 for, that's all that you can pay somebody?
Right. There used to be a cap on representation at the beginning. That was removed in 99. And that's why the Equal Justice Initiative's work is so important, because if no one who is expert is there to represent folks for free, and if they can't recruit people from outside who are willing to do it, it basically means that there really isn't due process in this country.
Well, it absolutely means that there isn't due process. If you are appointed, you didn't go out and choose. If you choose the worst lawyer, a lawyer that's drunk, the lawyer that's asleep, the lawyer that doesn't give a damn, the lawyer that is not prepared, the bottom of the barrel lawyer, they're only paid a lousy bit of money, and there's no incentive to win this case. You haven't gotten representation.
No, I mean, really, you haven't gotten representation. And I'd like to mention another horrifying statistic, which is, as I think I mentioned, judges in Alabama alone of any state in this country, have the power to reject a jury's verdict of life and unilaterally sentence a prisoner to death. Nearly 22% of the people who are sitting on Alabama's death row were initially handed life sentences by their juries.
Now, wait a minute, and let's think on that for a second. 22% of mostly black indigent people who were convicted of the murder but not handed the death sentence were handed that by an all-white jury, more than likely.
And all-white judges, more than likely. As I said, there is a huge incentive to seem tough on crime in Alabama and no accountability whatsoever.
But what I'm saying is that if an all-white jury handed a black person a death penalty, it must have been an awful case. It must have been a really awful case.
So we have the system where there's virtually no incentive for anybody to stand up for indigent people of color accused of capital crime, and where there's a lot of political motivation to get tough with them,
and
where there's practically no appeal afterwards.
Who's paying attention to this besides poor Brian Stevenson?
I mean, I think that there are several other organizations that are very interested in this. Of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I think that there's several death sentencing organizations. But Brian, who is a Harvard-educated man who could have gone off and done corporate law, has been very active in recruiting lawyers from all over the country and students from NYU Law to come in and do oversight on this and education and provide adequate representation, which should be the right of every American. And as I said, the Constitution does say that you have a right to counsel. I don't think that the framers were thinking that you had the right to drunken, unprepared hostile, disdainful counsel.
And let us be clear about the mind of Alabama. Talk to us about this referendum in November's election.
Well, something that Brian is very clear about is that most change comes on the federal level when it comes to civil rights. There's a lot of pushing of states' rights these days, frankly, by people on the right, because what they want to do is whatever the heck they want without federal oversight. They're still resentful about Brown versus Board of Education, et cetera. So if you think racism is over in Alabama, as Condoleezza Rice appears to, you just need to look at last November's election, where 51% of the electorate voted to keep language in the state constitution that forbids black and white children from going to school together, you know, just in case.
And it's for colored children. Colored children.
Right.
And then they kept the word colored children.
Right.
They voted to keep the word colored children in their constitution.
Yes, they did. And I want to remind people that this past June, when the Senate had a resolution apologizing for not passing anti-lynching legislation, that of the only 13 senators who went on record opposing it, both of Alabama's Republican senators, Jeff Sessions was one of only four who insisted that a recorded vote not be taken so you could never go back and say, how did people do?
And I got it. That has to be the last word. Nancy Goldstein, thank you so much.
Liz Brown, thank you so much. Keep doing the good work.
You too.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Windows are boarded up all over the Florida Keys. And Key West Mayor Jimmy Weekly is begging everyone, not just tourists, to leave.
But we cannot force our residents to leave. We just make them aware that it's their liability that they stay and not the city's.
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin retreated from his plan to allow residents back into the Algiers section of the city. He's asked everyone to get ready to evacuate, again, in case Tropical Storm Rita turns north.
I'm asking everybody to start the process of evacuating right now.
However,
if anybody wants to sit this storm out with drain-soaked levee systems to protect some assets, then God bless them.
President Bush is also concerned that Tropical Storm Rita will hit the Gulf Coast already crippled from Hurricane Katrina 3 weeks ago. The president heads to Gulfport, Mississippi and New Orleans today. The IRS is offering a program that lets workers convert unused vacation, sick time, or personal days into cash donations for Hurricane Katrina relief. In other news today, British police released closed-circuit TV footage today showing three of the London bombing suspects on what looks like a reconnaissance. The footage is from 2 weeks before the deadly July 7th attacks on the subway and a bus. 52 people were killed in those attacks, including the bombers. This is ABC News.
The end wasn't anywhere in sight, but I didn't even think I would have made it this far. There was a song playing on the radio, but I was listening to what my soul was asking for.
What was it?
Pillows, fresher than a wave breaking in the ocean, and linens, purer than my mama's thoughts. It's really close to the interstate, too, you know.
Brand new beds, same old beaten path. Fairfield Inn, for travelers who know.
The rules of the road.
It's the Marriott way.
So, you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting, and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive, or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
One of history's greatest crusaders against prejudice has died.
A survivor of Hitler's rages like this one and of his death camps, Simon Wiesenthal spent decades tracking down Nazi war criminals and fighting anti-Semitism. Rabbi Abraham Cooper, associate dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, says he was bigger than life.
He became really the conscience of the Holocaust.
Wiesenthal once said he wants history to know Nazis weren't able to kill millions of people and get away with it. He died peacefully in his sleep in Vienna. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The president of OPEC says the group, meeting in Vienna, is close to an agreement on raising its daily oil output by 2 million barrels a day. Crude oil prices dropped more than a dollar a barrel today, even with Tropical Storm Rita threatening the Gulf. Bear in mind, of course, prices spiked more than $4 a barrel yesterday. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a career residential burglary suspect is behind bars again. Christopher Warlock is charged with four counts of residential burglary after pawn tickets provided investigators with clues. Captain John Lakin of the Madison County Sheriff's Department says a recent search of the suspect's home produced items taken in residential burglaries from late May through earlier this month.
Information was developed and naming a particular suspect, and when the detectives got together and started looking through pawn tickets, they learned that a certain individual, Christopher Warlock, was pawning an unusual amount of property.
Warlock was released from prison in 2003 after serving a 9-year sentence on robbery and residential burglary charges. Investigators say that after July 29th, Warlock was supervised by the St. Clair County Probation Department and that he was on an electronic monitoring system when he allegedly committed the latest string of burglaries. Healthcare experts statewide are supporting a plan that would increase the tax on tobacco products in Missouri. The proposal calls for increasing the tax on a pack of cigarettes by 80 cents to 97 cents a pack. Lori Pickens, a spokesperson for the Committee for a Healthy Future, says the increase will bring Missouri more in line with what the rest of the country charges, and it will direct more money into smoking prevention and other health care programs. Supporters must gather 150,000 signatures to get the proposal on next November's ballot. A Metro East company is getting a major contract from the military. The Belleville Shoe Manufacturing Company has been awarded a multi-million dollar contract to provide boots to the Air Force, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, and Navy. The contract from the Defense Logistics Agency is estimated to be worth at least $5 million. Finally this hour, it's an off day for the players, but Rams coaches are working on the game plan for this Sunday's home opener against the Tennessee Titans. The Rams even their record at 1-1 with their 17-12 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Head coach Mike Martz cited the play of the special teams and the run defense as keys to the win. The defense has allowed an average of 58 yards on the ground in each of the first two games, and defensive end Leonard Little is tied for the league lead in sacks with 3. The Rams join 17 other teams, including the Titans, with 1-1 records. After a Week 1 loss to Pittsburgh, Tennessee rebounded to beat the Baltimore Ravens 25-10 on Sunday. Kickoff at the Edward Jones Dome this Sunday is at noon. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store. There are several traffic signals out in the St. Louis area. MoDOT reminds motorists that state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals and treat it like it was a four-way stop. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, the accident has been cleared. Traffic's easing now. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, you've got very heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry, 244, look for slow traffic in pockets there. Westbound 270 between Halls Ferry and West Florissant, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 55-70 split from 64 on the PSB. It is stop and go this hour, westbound 64 to 5570. Look for bumper to bumper going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic in the left ramp. And northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store. The Ashley Furniture Home Store big event means big savings for you, like no interest till 2010 and no payments till 2006. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy skies with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're holding at 70 degrees. Lambert Field has 71 under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I am, every day, I am just amazed at, and floored in some cases about the issues that are confronting this country. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. We were talking about, and this was the second week into Katrina, And we were so nervous that weekend. about gas prices. It was almost her son was anxious about it. He was talking about how in school people were talking about it. We were so anxious about gasoline prices. That's when we were hearing reports of $5 a gallon for gasoline down in Atlanta. We were hearing stories of cities in Missouri that had run out of gasoline, people that were rationing gasoline. And it was a very, very anxious thinking about the world that lays in front of you. What is this nation going to be like? Given what the price of, given Katrina, given the exposure to many people of how vulnerable this nation is and how unprepared this nation is and how lopsided this nation is with regard to who haves and who haves nots. I, for one, feel that this gas thing is hugely manipulated. There we have our own public service commission that is meeting to talk about what oil prices, what heating prices are going to be for you all next year, us all next year, this season. I mean, not even next year, when it starts to get colder. They're talking about increases of up to $200 for people to heat their homes. Because of the price of oil. Does it have to be like that? Should it be like that? Why is it like that? We need to talk about that. And I have joining me this morning Tyson Slocum. He's the research director for the energy program. He's with Public Citizen, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Tyson, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. It doesn't have to be like this, does it?
No, it doesn't. But unfortunately, this president and this Congress are continuing to let it happen. And there are some aggressive steps that the government can take to protect consumers from these high prices.
And let's take folks down the path of explaining about skyrocketing gasoline prices and record oil company profits and how that's not a coincidence.
Sure, Liz. I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. There is a direct connection between the record profits being enjoyed by oil companies and the record prices being paid by consumers. The largest five oil companies operating in the U.S. since President Bush took office have been $254 billion. Their profit margins on their refining business alone have shot up 80% since 1999. So you're talking about gigantic profits for the oil industry. And the federal government has done a number of investigations, and they found that America's markets are uncompetitive, which allows these oil companies to engage in market manipulation behavior, very similar to what Enron did.
And it feels manipulative because how could it be that gasoline prices were 14 cents higher last week and now they're down, and we're being told that, it's probably not going to stay down?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with rumblings at various state legislatures and by a vocal minority in Congress to try to improve regulations over the oil sector. And that made a lot of folks in the oil industry very, very nervous. The state of Hawaii, for example, is the first state to start regulating the price of gasoline. They did that effective September 1st. They've seen prices drop considerably in the state of Hawaii. They're considering doing that in California. I just testified last week before the New Jersey state assembly, and they're considering that as well. So people on the ground are fed up with these high prices. They're looking at the balance sheets of these oil companies. They're seeing the record profits, and they're saying enough is enough. We need to curtail these profits in order to protect American consumers and the American economy.
It was only, 3 years ago that gasoline prices, at least here in Missouri, gasoline prices were not even a dollar a gallon. I mean, it is insane to think that in such a short period of time that prices could go up that much. How could it be?
Well, I mean, first of all, the fact that the federal government continues to allow mergers in the U.S. oil industry to occur is definitely part of the problem. Just last month, the Bush administration approved yet another giant oil merger, this one between Valero and another big refiner called Premcor. Since the 1990s, there have been 2,600 mergers and acquisitions in the U.S. oil industry.
Mm.
And that has created unprecedented levels of consolidation. For example, in the refining industry alone, right now the largest five oil companies control 56% of all the oil refineries. Compare that to a decade ago when they only controlled one-third. The largest 10 oil companies control 83% of America's oil refineries. That's up from 54% a decade ago. Any economist looking at that sees unhealthy levels of market concentration, and what that means is that they can manipulate prices, and that's exactly what's going on here.
And how does a state go about making the decision or putting into place that we're going to put caps on the price of gasoline? How did Hawaii do that?
Well, it's very easy. First of all, the Public Service Commission or Public Utility Commission in any state already regulates lots of energy commodities. They regulate electricity. They regulate natural gas. They regulate water. All they have to do is change the state law and add gasoline to that. And your state is in a more powerful position if there are oil refineries in your state, because that means that is a major source of production of gasoline, and the state will have better ability to control that.
And they have to have hearings like they just had in the state of Missouri on our gas prices for heating oil.
That's right. And so all it does is it will force these oil companies to operate with more transparency to justify the record high prices and profits that they're making.
And
that's all that we're asking, is that these companies open up their books to the public, to these regulators, to ensure that a fair return on their investment is being had. If this is something like price gouging of runaway record profits, then I think it's completely within the rights of the state to moderate that level of profiteering.
And heretofore, no state has regulated gasoline, despite the fact that everybody uses gasoline. It's like everybody uses electricity. Everybody uses a gas to heating oil to heat their homes. No state had done that before. Hawaii did that?
That's right. There were some forays into it in the 1970s, but those were dealing with very strict price controls. Now folks are taking a different approach. They're instead looking at cost-based regulation, just taking a look at what the oil company's costs are to produce this, allowing them a reasonable rate of return, maybe 12-15% profit margin, and then that's it. The problem is right now we've got uncompetitive markets, we've got runaway record profits by these oil companies, and so we've got to do something because Americans are hurting. It's killing our economy, it's killing job creation, and it's really hitting lower-income and middle-income people the hardest.
And then there's also some immeasurable costs as well, Tyson. That's what I was talking about in my opening. It makes people very anxious. It is not a pleasant place to be when you're worried about how are you going to get money to get to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We are getting to the point, especially when you combine rising prices in home heating oil,
mm-hmm.
in natural gas, people are going to be making difficult decisions this winter. They're going to be asking themselves, can I afford to go to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
pay my rent or mortgage, or pay off my utility bill? This winter is going to be devastating. It is going to be extremely, extremely difficult for millions of Americans, and the government isn't doing anything about it. I'm testifying before the United States Senate tomorrow on these issues, and the first thing I'm going to tell them is, why on earth are we having a hearing here on energy policy when Congress already passed a so-called comprehensive energy bill just a month ago?
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
4 years, allegedly, writing. Well, actually, the energy company lobbyists spent 4 years writing it.
That is a really profound observation. I mean, if it's already fixed, why are we coming back and having hearings on it?
Exactly. You know, that's the big problem here, is that the Bush energy plan does absolutely nothing to address any of the fundamental energy crises that America faces. This is what happens when you turn over the legislative process to corporate lobbyists, which is what the Congress and the White House did with the energy bill. It's a disgrace, that energy bill. It spends billions of dollars, $6 billion of our money, in tax breaks and subsidies to the oil companies. You've got to be kidding me. They've got $254 billion in profits, and here President Bush is spending $6 billion of our cash in more subsidies to them.
But
that's
wait a
outrageous.
Minute. But wait a minute, Tyson. He didn't get this bill without the help of Congress.
Oh, absolutely. Congress played a huge role and passed this bill with very, very wide margins.
And a lot of Democrats signed up on this.
And that's what's really upsetting, is that there wasn't enough debate in the Congress. In the Senate, for example, I think the vote was 74 to 26 in favor of the energy bill.
And can you remember off the top of your head, who were the people that voted against it? Did Kerry vote against it?
He did. Six Republicans also voted against it, including John McCain. But there were a number of Democrats that voted in favor of it.
What did Obama do? Do you remember?
He voted in favor of it, unfortunately.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I know. Did Hillary Clinton vote in favor of it?
No, she didn't. She voted against it, as did Senator Schumer from New York. Both California Senators Feinstein and Boxer voted against it.
This is unreal. And you know, one of the things about this energy bill, once it was passed, I didn't see a whole lot. It was almost shamefaced. That you didn't see a whole lot of hoopla, with the exception of George W. Bush touting it. Folks weren't going around bragging about their vote on this one.
No, they weren't, because I think they recognized that
they couldn't
spent
come
4 years. They had basically opened up the legislative process to corporate lobbyists, and they produced an energy bill that doesn't address energy policy. All it is big payback for big contributors. And it's unbelievable. You look at the calendar of the U.S. Congress, almost every committee right now is talking about energy policy.
And you passed the energy bill.
What the heck is going on here? I mean, when I testify tomorrow, I'm going to say to them, what on earth is up with the comprehensive energy bill? Because the only comprehensive thing I see about it are the huge financial giveaways to oil companies. Other than that, there's nothing there for the people. There's nothing there to reduce demand. There's nothing to address the problems. It's just a corporate love fest, and that's not the way to run our government. It's a kleptocracy right now.
And the other truly, truly, for me, the truly, truly scary piece is the elimination of PUCA.
Oh, yeah, the Public Utility Holding Company Act. That was Ken Lay and Enron's big push when they were still operating, was to repeal this last remaining energy regulation over electricity companies. And as you say, Liz, the energy bill that Bush just signed repeals that act. And so it actually heavily deregulates the energy industry right at the time when we need more regulation over these companies, not less.
Now we have, in addition to runaway gasoline prices, in addition to runaway heating prices, runaway electricity prices, we now are going to have to fight these companies, perhaps in Sweden, perhaps in India, perhaps in because of the elimination of the PUCA allows foreign companies to come in and buy our energy, buy electricity or own the electricity in the state of Missouri.
That's right, and it also opens up the door for the first time for oil companies and hedge funds and investment banks and insurance companies to own and control utilities. It's going to be a madhouse.
Are you going to talk about that when you testify before Congress tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. I'll be talking about all the big problems with America's energy policy and how Congress needs to start doing the people's work and not the work of corporate lobbyists.
Do you think that maybe we now have an opportunity to redo the so-called energy bill?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the one of the first things I'm going to urge is that in the wake of all of the upsetting things that went on with the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, We are spending money that we don't have. I'm going to urge Congress to repeal the tax breaks and subsidies to oil companies that they just passed in the energy bill.
And you know what? This is a thing that is just mystifying to me, Tyson. There are so many opportunities for Democrats out there to pick an issue, ride it home to the next election, just in the interest of self-preservation. There should be Democrats that are standing behind you that are saying, yeah, let's do that because I want to go into my next election standing up to these big old oil companies.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping, is to get some opposition. I mean, like I said, this shouldn't be just a Democrat or Republican issue. This is about what's best for the people of this country.
But, I mean, putting that aside,
yeah.
Even if you're just in it for self-interest, this is a winner, isn't it? Isn't it a winner to rail against the given what gasoline prices are, to rail against the guys that are making you pay that?
Liz, it's a no-brainer to me and to you, apparently, but not to our elected representatives in Congress. I mean, it's not only a no-brainer, but the facts are all there.
Yeah.
We've got tons of research on our website at citizen.org that, with links to government investigations, proving that we've got uncompetitive markets, proving that these oil companies engage in Enron-style market manipulation. The facts are all there. Now it's the job of the Congress to do something about it.
And it's a frightening thing that it takes a hurricane like Katrina, a devastating something like Katrina, to bring this back to the table.
Well, hopefully. You know, we just need to keep the pressure on. And all the listeners out there need to call their members of Congress and demand that they do something. Hold these oil companies accountable, because enough is enough.
And we're going to talk about what we could do in light of Katrina, but we have to take a break. I'm talking to Tyson Slocum, Research Director, Energy Program with Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're going to continue this conversation. Please stay with us. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920 is my long distance. revolution@lizbrown.com. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. And check out lizbrown.com. Stay with us.
I can't stop now.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by United Way of America. There are several traffic signals out in the St. Louis area. MoDOT reminds motorists the state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals and treat it as though it were a four-way stop. Westbound 70 and 94, there's road construction. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and 270. Look for a very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mesa Road. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Tucson Ferry to 44. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Forest. And look for a heavy volume. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, you've got stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Bates, no problems there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge, IDOT has left center lane closed for emergency pothole repairs. Traffic is backed up to near the exchange. Westbound 64 at Bowell and 270. Look for slow traffic going on. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 on Cleeds Landing. Look for slow volume going on there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by United Way of America. Hurricane Katrina devastated America, and United Way is leading recovery efforts. To make a donation, visit UnitedWay.org or call 1-800-272-4630. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today. High in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear. Low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High around 90. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU are holding steady at 70 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field has dropped to 70 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The St. Louis Gateway Art sponsors a clawhammer banjo workshop at the Folk School of St. Louis, 1600 Big Bend in Richmond Heights. Join this hands-on workshop with acclaimed banjoist Dan Levinson on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Cost is $30 to $50. To find out more, call 314-727-3355 or log on to www.folk-school.com. Something for banjoists from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hello, this is Regina Ruiz. I would like to invite you to tune in to my broadcast on Sunday afternoons here on WGNU. The program is called Talk to Me. I will be delivering a message to build your faith and improve your life and will be taking your calls live. Listen every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and talk to me, Regina Ruiz, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Great group discounts and hospitality packages available. Call 314-622-BLUE to book your reservation now.
Why do black Americans shy away from the Republican Party? Is it because the black voters are sick and tired of the GOP playing on racial fears and hatred to get the support of white conservatives? Which party consistently opposes making Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday? Will the hurricane disaster forever doom the Republicans from any support from people of color? Some questions to consider when Professor Michael Fauntroy joins Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning at 9 to look at America's changing political landscape.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Take the power back. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Revolution at LizBrown.com. We are talking to Tyson Slocum. He's the research director for the energy program with Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and Tyson is going to be testifying before Congress tomorrow on this energy issue that confronts our nation. Tyson, talk to us about how... what can be done in light of Katrina?
Well, sure. I mean, the first thing we can do is try to take aggressive steps to reduce our consumption of oil. I mean, remember, the United States is the largest consumer of oil in the world. We use 25% of the world's oil every day. Because we haven't increased fuel economy standards in over 15 years, The average fuel economy of America's cars today is 21 miles a gallon. That's less than it was back in 1987 when it was 22.1 miles a gallon. So we're getting worse fuel economy than we were 15 years ago. So we need to improve that so we use less oil. But second, we need to hold oil companies accountable. That's why we support a windfall profits tax that would try to reduce prices by limiting the amount of record profits that the oil companies can.
How do we define windfall profit?
Well, I think it's not easy to define, but I think when you look at, you know, ExxonMobil, which has enjoyed profits of $89 billion since President Bush took office, that seems to be a windfall profit. They've got record profit margins. We've compiled data from these oil companies that show that their profit margins just on their refining business have skyrocketed 80% over the last couple of years. So it's very clear that they're making record profits at every stage of production. So limiting their ability to do that would be helpful. And I think that we need to have a massive investigation led by the Department of Justice, including the power of subpoena, to document any uncompetitive or illegal manipulation activities by these oil companies.
But wouldn't we really have to take an investigation like that out of the Department of Justice and have an independent prosecutor, given the incredible relationship with oil that this that percolates all through this administration?
Hopefully. Well, the thing is that there are some good career civil servants in the Department of Justice. Perhaps it would make a lot of sense to have Attorney General Gonzalez recuse himself from any investigation to make it not political at all. But, you know, I opened up the paper this morning and the Department of Justice is bringing charges against several Republican activists that were close to Bush and Tom DeLay. So there are elements within the Department of Justice that can do a very good job doing a political type of criminal investigations.
So what else can we do in terms of can we do something in terms of price control in the short term? Because these feel like long term.
Absolutely. I mean, Public Citizen called for such price controls right after the hurricane hit because for us it was a no-brainer. Prices were skyrocketing up only in response to the hurricane.
But even pre-hurricane hitting the ground, there were prices, gasoline prices were going up. The pipelines hadn't even been touched yet. It was only the anticipation that the pipelines would be touched.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, that prices were well on their way to reaching record levels long before Hurricane Katrina was around. I think that we need to re-regulate the energy trading exchanges where the prices of crude oil and gasoline are set. Remember, because of legislation that Enron largely wrote back in 2000, Congress deregulated these energy trading exchanges. And as a result, we don't have transparency. And when you don't have transparency, you have a greater ability of companies to manipulate those trading exchanges. So a combination of investigations, windfall profits tax, re-regulating energy trading, and establishing some sort of short-term price controls for gasoline and other oil products, I think would be a very good energy plan.
Is there a precedent for price controls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the United States, through the 1970s, had lots of price controls. And they weren't all that successful, mainly because they were dealing with a much different market situation. There you had the control over oil supply by outside factors, by OPEC member nations. This is a much different world that we live in today. OPEC does not control oil markets. In fact, I think that we have a corporate cartel rather than a national cartel. These largest five oil companies that have $254 billion in profits. Remember, companies like ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco, they are oil producers in addition to oil refiners, in addition to selling gasoline on your corner gas station. These largest five companies control 14% of global oil production. They produce 10 million barrels of oil a day. That's more than Saudi Arabia's 9 million barrels of oil a day. Mm. So individual companies like ExxonMobil produce more than Persian Gulf countries like Kuwait. So
we're looking in the wrong direction. When the average American is looking to who's to fault for this, if they're looking at OPEC, they're looking in the wrong direction.
Absolutely they are. This really has very little to do with OPEC. I mean, you see in this morning's newspaper, the OPEC ministers are saying we are going to continue increasing production. But the oil companies don't care. The energy traders on New York that actually set the price of oil, they don't care. They're sending the price up. The profits of oil companies are at record highs, and we've got to say enough is enough.
And this is really one of those cases that American citizens out there can really, this is an easy one for them to understand and an easy reason to pick up your phone and to call your legislator.
Absolutely, because the solutions are there. There are some in the industry and in Congress who say, oh, there's nothing that we can do about prices, and they're flat wrong. I've just outlined a number of things that Congress can do that would aggressively help protect consumers from these record high prices. We need a Congress and a White House that is going to start responding to the needs of the people and not just the corporate lobbyists.
And in terms of who's in bed, I guess, for longer periods of time, or who's in bed more with the oil industry, Congress or this White House?
Well, I would say both are equally bad. I mean, some members of Congress are just plain awful. I mean, the Republican chairman of the Senate Energy Committee, Pete Domenici, is definitely in bed with the oil companies. The Republican chairman of the House Energy Committee, Joe Barton, is open. He's very open in saying we need an energy policy that prioritizes the needs of oil companies.
Mm.
When you've got the chairman of the energy committees in Congress that openly have a love affair with large oil companies
openly cheating on. They're openly cheating on us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's time to hold these people accountable.
And what was the connection with Obama and the energy entities out there? Why would he have supported this energy bill?
I have no idea. I mean, remember, Barack Obama also voted in favor of that bankruptcy bill that the credit card companies wrote. I mean,
he's too young to be doing this stuff.
Well, you know, if any folks out there live in Illinois, or even if you don't, give them a call and let them know how disappointed you are, because, like a lot of people, I was inspired by him, by his speech, by his story, and so far his record in Congress unfortunately isn't matching that, in my opinion.
And Tyson, where can people find out more information about this to arm themselves when they call their representatives to talk
about
this? Sure.
We're on the internet at www.citizen.org.
And for those that do not have access to the internet,
you can give us a call and we're happy to get you information. Our phone number is 202-588-1000.
Tyson Slocum, Research Director, Energy Program with Public Citizen. We'll talk to you after you testify before Congress tomorrow.
All right, Liz, sounds good.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is the Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. I will be back with your calls, with your comments. You need to give us a call at 454-0400 or 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much, much, much to talk about. Get to us. We ain't done here. We ain't done here.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Guam. The Bush administration is beginning to react to what it perceives as a growing threat by China. It has started to phase out its fleet of old B-52 bombers and is replacing them with B-2s in the Pacific Theater. This is part of a long-range realignment that is to strengthen American military forces in Asia. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has already expressed concern over why China is modernizing its military forces and has apparently interpreted that to mean that the U.S. may not be able to continue having uncontested naval and air power all over the Pacific Ocean unless some major changes in American defense policy are made. And Dateline Virginia Beach. Television evangelist Pat Robertson says God made Hurricane Katrina hit the United States because Hollywood TV moguls chose Ellen DeGeneres to host the Emmy Awards this year. Robertson says the choice of a lesbian for the national telecast invited the wrath of God to befall the United States. He said the last time DeGeneres hosted the Emmys was in 2001, and the terrorist attacks took place just before the ceremony. Robertson said on his TV show over the weekend, The 700 Club, that America is waiting for DeGeneres to apologize for the death and destruction that her sexual deviance has brought upon the land. He also called for the TV Academy to prevent all homosexuals and bisexuals from taking part in the Emmy Awards. Robertson last month also opined that the U.S. government should consider assassinating Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez because of the threat he posed to democracy in Central and South America. This is your wake-up call global news update. Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
If you're single, I'd like you to try something. Find three friends or family members and ask them about eHarmony.com. Chances are, you or they know someone that has fallen in love on eHarmony. You might even know one of the thousands that has been married as a result of being matched on eHarmony.
I had some friends who had experienced it, and so I thought, why not give it a shot?
I had a friend of mine say, why don't you give eHarmony a try?
My younger son said, come on, Mom, just try it. What do you have to lose?
Friends and family can be powerful allies when it comes to helping you find the love of your life. So if you're single and curious about eHarmony, ask a friend about us. Or better yet, log on to eHarmony and see for yourself why eHarmony has become the number one relationship site. Do it today and you'll get your $40 personality profile absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results may vary. Some restrictions apply.
The Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee, invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th, be black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March.
And everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live.
Sunday, September 25th.
This event is free to the public.
The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand.
Divided, we don't stand a chance.
The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C.
For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191
or toll-free 866-361-9191. Farrakhan Live.
You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
Last week, we told you about the FEMA plan to use a company named SCI to recover bodies in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It was public knowledge that the company had been sued for mishandling corpses in the past. So why use them again? Of course, the head of the company's donation of $100,000 to the George Bush Senior Presidential Library had nothing to do with it, right? We dig deeper into this story with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Cafeteria line in Chicago. The fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white coat.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. We try to keep you informed here. We try to keep you on top of the issues as they confront us. And you can give us a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Miss Brown, the truth will set you free. I love your program. Beginning with this morning, there's three things I want to discuss with you, Miss Brown. I won't be long. Condoleezza Rice, you had to bring on a white woman to make Condoleezza Rice to come out of that denial bag. Race and class, Condoleezza Rice. And Condoleezza Rice, if you're listening, go look yourself in the mirror, in the final White House mirror. Go look yourself in that mirror, Condoleezza Rice. You're still black. When you get through hobnob with George and Laura.
Wait a minute. I don't think that that's fair. There aren't any mirrors in the White House that reflect back.
Oh, they don't.
No, they don't.
Oh, well, Ms. Brown, thank you for correcting me on that.
Right.
George won't fire you, Condoleezza Rice, just because if you mention race and class, he's not going to fire you, but you're going to do what he say, Duke, Condoleezza Rice. Number two, Ms. Brown, John McCain was on a TV yesterday with a CBS News correspondent, Ms. Brown. He told that CBS woman, Ms. Brown, he said they're going to have to pull the Medicare prescription bill, and you should have seen his face, Ms. Brown. Since Katrina doesn't have it, he said we're going to have to pull that bill. Now, whether they pull it or not, I don't know, Ms. Brown, because they can't even fix health care. You know that, Ms. Brown. Go ahead, Ms. Brown.
No, go ahead.
Oh, one more thing, Ms. Brown. I'll let you go. John Kerry. This is the same John Kerry you told us about this morning who punked out in the last election, who couldn't get his war record straight, his purple heart straight, Ms. Brown. But you left out one thing, Ms. Brown. Did he mention race and class in his article?
This was a speech, and I'm so glad you asked that question.
Did he mention race and class in his article?
Okay, let me lay it out here.
Lay it out, Ms.
Okay,
Brown.
This is a speech that he gave at Brown University where he made some extraordinary statements about criticizing and accurately criticizing this administration and he called it the Katrina administration. And you know how many times he mentioned race in that speech?
How many times?
He said the word race once.
Once.
And there has to be, and I should have done a word count, but there has to be at least 2,000 to 3,000 words in this speech. And he talked about the Katrina, called it the Katrina administration, talked about the problems that have occurred as a result of Katrina, and mentioned the word race once, and I believe he's mentioned the word class once.
Can you explain to me, Ms. Brown, why is everybody scared of those two words, race and class? And Ms. Brown, tell John Kerry, don't come back up in 08, Ms. Brown. He had his chance. Bring us another Franklin Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt. Have a nice day, Ms. Brown.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Bill Clinton, I guess he heard about John Kerry's speech. He came out on, no, John Kerry must have heard about Bill Clinton's speech because Bill Clinton said this on Meet the Press. Bill Clinton criticized Bush saying that the Iraq war diverted United States attention from the war on terrorism and undermine the support that we might have had. In fact, this is an interview on ABC's This Week. He said that there had been a heroic but so far unsuccessful effort to put together a constitution that would be universally supported in Iraq. He said Hurricane Katrina, Bill Clinton faulted the authorities' failure to evacuate New Orleans ahead of the storm. People with cars were able to get the evacuation order, but many of those who were poor, disabled, or elderly were left behind. If we really wanted to do it right, we would have had lots of buses to take them out. He said he agreed that some responsibility lay with state and local authorities, but he pointed the finger without naming him at the former director of FEMA. He didn't point the finger far up enough down up the line. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, ma'am.
And they talk about looting.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the people down there drowning in water looting and all this looting going on. Nobody's hollering about looting.
Stealing soggy bread. People tripping on stealing soggy bread.
Mm-hmm.
Taking soggy bread.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the looting that's fixing to go on right now with Karl Rove and him going down there and the billions of dollars that they fixing to loot.
Mm-hmm. I talked about looting.
All right, now. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Earlene.
Look, I have been trying to find on search when this program is going to come back on the independent film channel, which is 302 in the city. But I just happened to catch it one evening, and it was called Weapons of Mass Deception.
I've had Danny Schechter on the show.
And I thought that you had this guy on, and I've been trying to see if it's coming back on for those you know, who haven't seen it. And I believe there's a book.
Yes, Weapons of Mass Deception.
Which I want to try to get the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, Danny Schechter has been on the show many times.
Right, and mm-hmm. I kept saying that that's something that Liz has talked about on her show for mm-hmm. quite a while. I couldn't mm-hmm. remember the person's name, but
yes.
the guy who's the director.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, you have to look at an independent film channel to see that. We have
yes.
to listen to your program, you know, which reaches this area. And, I mean, I know you're on Internet and...
No, it reaches all over.
Well, that's right. You're
all over, yeah.
Nationwide now.
No, worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, still the so-called major media
mm-hmm.
That they are just overlooking this stuff. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they have as much blood on their hands.
You're right.
As George Bush, as Karl Rove, as can't believe a Rice, and she's not going to quit. She's not going to leave her man.
No, she's not. She ain't leaving her
every
man.
Every picture you
her
see
husband.
Is together.
Her husband.
The love is there.
All
she's
right
in
now.
Love with this white
okay.
boy. Okay. But, I mean, I just can't see how morally, you know, people can just be so asleep and see what's happening. I mean, people are dying in front of us. God put the devastation right in our backyard.
Got to get to the bottom before you can get to the top.
We cannot seem to see.
Well, it's our. You know what? The thing about it is that the door has been cracked open. It's time to push it open and be done with it. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
All right. Portia.
Good morning.
Good morning. Quickly, please.
I was just wanting to say how disappointed I am to hear about what Obama is up there doing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I can't believe this. And the thing is, somebody said it on, I can't remember who said it, but somebody was being interviewed on CNN or whatever, and they were talking about the government officials and blah, blah, blah. And the bottom line was, you people got what you deserve because you elected these people into office.
Thanks for your call, Forrest. This is Liz Brown. We're going to be talking about more Katrina madness. We're not done here. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
East southeast of Key West, Florida, heading for the Keys at about 15 miles an hour. Forecasters expect to upgrade Rita to a hurricane any hour now. More from ABC's David Curley in Key West.
The storm is expected to hit the Keys and southern Florida before reaching the Gulf and growing even stronger as it heads toward Texas and possibly the already battered coastlines of Louisiana and Mississippi. At least one Texas town, Galveston, has already announced plans for evacuations.
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin reversed course and stopped the repopulation of the city. He's worried about what another storm would do to the already weakened levee system. President Bush makes his fifth visit to the hurricane zone today with stops in Mississippi and Louisiana. The president also wants an investigation into the federal hurricane response.
President Bush today launches a White House review into what officials call lessons learned from the Hurricane Katrina response. It will be run by his director of Homeland Security, Francis Townsend, and a memo to cabinet secretaries says there will be good lessons as well as bad lessons examined.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton. Four Army soldiers attached to the 2nd Marine Division were killed in Iraq today. ABC's John Berman reports from Baghdad.
They were killed in two separate incidents by improvised explosive devices, the roadside bombs that have proven so deadly for U.S. troops in this country. Ramadi has remained a hot spot for the insurgency here. The U.S. has staged several operations to rid that area and all of western Iraq from the insurgents, but they keep on fighting back.
In the northern city of Mosul, four Americans were killed, two were wounded, when a suicide car bomber attacked a diplomatic convoy. No other details available. This is ABC News.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn two or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about one in three people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-877-3-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think NEXIUM, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if NEXIUM is right for you.
Police in Richmond, Virginia, have seized computers and other items from the home of a 38-year-old photographer described as a person of interest in a missing person case. He was reportedly among the last to see college student Taylor Beal before she vanished 2 weeks ago. Chris Collins is the photographer's attorney.
The reason he contacted me was that he was trying to be helpful to the police. Police were coming to his house any hour of the day or night. Media was all over his place. And it scared him.
Meanwhile, Janet Palasara is begging for information about her daughter.
We just want her back. We want to know that she's safe. We want to know she's okay.
But Richmond police suspect foul play. The name of philanthropist Alberto Villar is off the atrium at London's Royal Opera House because he didn't come through with a multi-million dollar pledge. Villar was arrested in New York back in May. He pleaded not guilty to charges of business fraud. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Furrenmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Laclede Gas Company customers are speaking out about a proposed $10.5 million rate increase. Critics last night cited financial hardship as they expressed their concerns before the Missouri Public Service Commission. If the company's request is approved, gas rates for a typical residential customer would rise by approximately 1% per month. That increase would be in addition to the sharp rise in natural gas prices. The PSC is slated to consider the company's request next week. Methamphetamine abuse isn't the only drug problem in Missouri. Corporal Scott Bartlemass of the Overland Police Department and a DARE instructor says St. Louisans are dealing with a prescription drug problem as well.
People abuse the various painkillers, be they, you know, the regular generic ones, but painkillers seem to be a big thing because of the, you know, the sensation that people get from it, that we've been told, you know, the numbing sensation, the escape from reality that they get from that.
Bartlemass says the top five drug problems St. Louis area residents are dealing with include crystal meth, marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and prescription drugs. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan's federal corruption trial is underway. Ryan, who served as governor from 1998 to 2002, is charged with 22 counts of racketeering, fraud, and money laundering. Federal prosecutors say Ryan took cash and trips in exchange for state contracts and inflated leases. Many of the alleged violations took place during Ryan's tenure as Secretary of State from 1991 to 1999. Finally this hour, the punch has been taken out of the trio of world championship bouts scheduled for September 30th at the Savas Center. The event, which was announced by Don King Productions on September 7th, has been postponed because of what is being called a lack of sufficient promotional time and competition from professional sports teams in St. Louis. The card included the battle for the World Boxing Association Cruiserweight title, the WBA Junior Middleweight Championship, and the International Boxing Federation Junior Bantamweight title. Senior VP and Savas Center General Manager Dennis Petrullo expects the event to be rescheduled, saying Savas Center remains committed to boxing and looks forward to announcing a new date soon. All tickets will be refunded at the original point of purchase. Ticketmaster will automatically issue a refund for tickets purchased by phone or online. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Xantrex 3, the most powerful diet pill in America, Xantrex 3. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrex 3, yes, at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Moulton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. There are several traffic signals out in the St. Louis area. MoDOT reminds motorists the state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals and treat it like it was a four-way stop. Eastbound 44 between 6 Flags Allington, look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. expect a brief slowdown. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's an accident reported. Westbound 70 and 94, there's construction going on. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, you've got slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Merrimack River Bridge. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 70 from 370 Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, stop and go. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Florissant. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway. That's closed due to construction work. The ramp is closed. You can use the 11th Street exit. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley. It is stop and go this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic going on. Northbound 55 between Green Park and Potomac. No problems there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue, the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way onto the landing. It is bumper-to-bumper there. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street and the PSB. Look for slow traffic going on there. And eastbound 5570 at 4th Street to center lanes are closed for pothole patching. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local dealer to schedule a complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the upper 80s. This evening mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday mostly sunny, a high around 90. Wednesday evening partly cloudy once again with a high in the mid 60s. And Thursday, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 69 in overcast skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I was sharing with you in the 6 o'clock hour bits and pieces, excerpts, if you will, from a speech, at least the prepared speech for delivery given by, y'all remember him, John Kerry. And he said some amazing things in this speech given to Brown University just yesterday. One of the things that he said was, in response to Katrina, he calls it the Katrina administration. And he says that this is about the broader pattern of incompetence and negligence that Katrina exposed. And beyond that, a truly systematic effort to distort and disable the people's government and to devote it to the interest of the privileged and powerful. John Kerry said yesterday it is about the betrayal of trust and abuse of power. And in all the often horrible and sometimes ennobling sights and sounds we've all witnessed over the last 2 weeks, there's another sound just under the surface. The steady clucking of administration chickens coming home to roost. That's what John Kerry said. You know, what did you do with John Kerry and who is this man? Oh, another thing that he said, and I think that it's important to listen to this. He said that this administration rushed to camouflage their misjudgments and inaction. And just because they're doing this doesn't mean that they are suddenly listening. I want to meet the speechwriter. John Kerry said, or at least this is what was prepared for him to deliver yesterday at Brown University. The plan this administration is designing for the Gulf Coast turns the region into a vast laboratory for right-wing ideological experiments. They're already talking about private school vouchers, abandonment of environmental regulations, abolition of wage standards, subsidies for big industries, and believe it or not, yet another big round of tax cut for the wealthiest amongst us. This administration is recycling all of their failed policies and shipping them to Louisiana. After 4 years of ideological excess, these Washington Republicans have a bad hangover, and they can't think of anything to offer the Gulf Coast but the hair of the dog that bit them. Turning the region into a vast laboratory for right-wing ideological experiments. Well, I got one for you. I don't know if it's an experiment. I don't know if it's a bad habit. I don't know if it's chickens coming home to roost, but it ain't good. I think that you can measure people by their instinct. Not by what they've had, that what they can do, not always by what they've had, what they do after having months and weeks to plan to do it, but by their instinct. The instinct of this administration, given the dead bodies floating in the water, you need to listen to what the instinct of this administration was in response to dead babies floating in water, dead seniors floating in water, dead people being found in nursing homes and hospitals all over the region that Katrina assaulted.
Let's talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, we have Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, joining us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am outstanding. How do we evaluate this administration's instinct in responding to the needs of the dead in Katrina, in the aftermath of Katrina?
Well, I think there's a lot of reason to be concerned about the way they're handling the dead in Louisiana. They have FEMA brought in a company called Kenyon International to retrieve the bodies and to deliver mortuary services. FEMA brought the company in and then couldn't seem to get its act together, as usual, to even sign a contract with them, leaving Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco to sign a contract with them that requires the state of Louisiana to pay $119,000 a day.
A day.
A day. For the job of recovering and documenting and handling the bodies. This is, I think, particularly troubling because, well, for so many reasons, but to start with, you know, there were volunteer fire and rescue people who've come from all over the country to assist in exactly this kind of effort, including a lot of the members of the fire departments who worked at the site of the World Trade Center and collected bodies there.
So that's what they did. They collected the dead bodies, and they categorized them, and they put names on them, and they handled them.
That's right. That's the first issue. Why are we bringing in at $119,000 a day a company to do this when there were volunteers happy to do it for free to assist? And people who are, you know, clearly qualified. And I'm not saying that Kenyon doesn't have experience in this. Apparently, SCI, which is the parent company of Kenyon International, their Service Corps International, is one of the largest funeral providers in the world. It's not that they don't have any experience with this kind of thing, but there are some facts about Kenyon that I don't think the people of Louisiana know about, and I think they might be a little troubled.
Well, we need to evaluate, you know, there's experience and then there's good experience.
Exactly. I think one of the most troubling things is that in 2003, SCI settled for $100 million, which is a huge settlement.
And can we just stop for 1 second,
sure.
Melinda? Because as an attorney, I want people to feel that the significance of a settlement. This means that they agreed that they weren't going to try. If a company, a corporation that has millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to hire lawyers to defend them, if a corporation makes a decision to settle a case, they've made it for two reasons. One, that they don't want to deal with the negative publicity that comes from the accusation leveled at them. And two, out of fear and also understanding after the evaluation of very trained and very talented lawyers that you're not going to win on trial on this. Those are the reasons that a corporation agrees to settle to begin with. And that's agreeing to settle for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. The fact that this corporation has agreed to settle for $100 million says huge things about what they did wrong.
Exactly. And here's what they did wrong that's so disturbing and that I think would trouble the people of Louisiana, particularly if they knew. SCI owned a couple of cemeteries in Florida. And at those cemeteries, they were crushing down burial vaults to make room for other vaults. They were burying decedents one on top of each other. They dug up and removed remains. They mixed body parts and remains from different individuals. And some of the remains that they dug up, they dumped in a wooden area to be consumed by wild animals. So that's not exactly the kind of respect you'd like to see bodies treated with. And they keep talking in Louisiana about the need to treat bodies and, you know, the dead respectfully. And this is sort of the exact opposite of treating people respectfully.
And it's not like we have to guess about this is what something that they could do. This is something that they have done and that they've admitted to doing.
That's right. Exactly.
And in terms of one of the things I you know, everybody has been glued to the television watching Katrina. I saw a former Senator Carol Mosley Braun on talk because she has family down there, and she was talking about the concern that other elected officials had down there was that they were fearful that there were just going to be these mass holes and then mass graves for the people without any effort to identify these people and identify them for their loved ones and give them the burials that they, as human beings, are entitled to. And this is a real possibility with this business, is it not?
Well, it certainly strikes me as a real possibility with a company who has treated bodies like that in the past. Not the only problem they've had. There's a particularly, I think one of the things that's particularly interesting is that SCI is quite tied to the Bush administration. Back when George Bush was the governor of Texas, a woman named Eliza May was hired to run the Texas Funeral Service Commission, which had been in kind of a shambles. And she was a very respected individual. She came in and she started investigating funeral homes. And soon she found out that some funeral homes in Texas that were owned by SCI had some very serious problems with their embalming practices and their licensing. So, again, bad things were happening to bodies at funeral homes owned by SCI. Ms. May was investigating and trying to acquire documents, and pretty soon the CEO of SCI became very upset about it. His name is Robert Waltrip, and it turns out that he's a friend of George Bush's. In fact, Mr. Waltrip donated $100,000 to the construction of the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library, the president's father, and he serves on the library's board of trustees. And he's donated money to George Bush also. So anyway, he steps in, and he is so upset about this investigation that he goes to the governor's office and meets with the deputy chief of staff, Joe Alba, who's now in the Bush administration.
And we're talking about he gave $100,000 to George W. Bush's dad, but when he goes to the governor's office, he's talking to George W. Bush.
That's right.
Okay.
And actually, it was his chief of staff, Joe Alba.
Okay.
And he goes in to talk to him, and while he's there, George Bush sticks his head in. He says, "Are you still having problems with those folks?" And Waltrip indicated that they were, and Bush asked somebody in the room, "Well, are you going to take care of him?" And the other guy said, "I'm going to do my best, Governor." So it didn't take long after that meeting before Ms. May was fired, terminated from her job for doing her job. And again, the reason we know that Ms. May was actually doing her job and was improperly fired is that eventually the next governor, Rick Perry, settled with Ms. May, who had sued. And the government of Texas paid out, the settlement was for $210,000, with SCI actually having to pay about $55,000 of that money, and the state of Texas paid the rest. But so they settled, and it was obviously something was going on that was wrong, but how much money did SCI probably save in the fact that the investigation was still killed? So they never were investigated.
And George Bush had comments about this lawsuit filed by Eliza May.
That's right.
What did he say? What did George W. Bush say about the lawsuit?
Oh, he said that the lawsuit was ridiculous, and there was a whole issue where Ms. Maisler tried to get him to be forced to testify, and he fought that and eventually won in court. But I think the key point here is that the government of Texas had to settle. And so, again, it was something, SCI was doing something wrong, and Eliza May got fired for telling the truth.
And wasn't there one more thing to it, too? I think that speaks to the character of George W. Bush. He said that her lawsuit was frivolous, and he also denied knowing the circumstances of her ouster. And that flies back to what you said about asking, are those people still messing with you?
Exactly. So I think those are, you know, some pretty troubling facts about SCI. And if you have a choice, you know, Kenyon International, as I said, is one of the largest funeral body recovery services in the world, if not the largest. So, you know, if you have something like the tsunami, you may not have much of a choice about what to bring in. But here in New Orleans, there were volunteers coming from all over the country to do this kind of work, to do this job. And instead of allowing them to do that job, we, the taxpayers, are footing a $119,000 a day bill to pay a company that has questionable character.
And also, this goes to the concern that has been articulated, at least in the early days of Katrina, about whether or not the recovery efforts will be used as an opportunity to connect this administration with their contributors and furthering the agenda of this administration, as opposed to dealing with the real issues that that we have as a result of Katrina.
Well, sure, they've already hired Halliburton to go out and help in Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as everybody probably knows by now, Halliburton has long-time connections to the administration, and where Dick Cheney, the vice president, used to be the CEO, has been getting paid billions of dollars over in Iraq to rebuild Iraq. And, you know, some of that money seems to have strangely vanished, too. And so in spite of all the problems with Halliburton in Iraq, who's the first company that gets a no-bid contract in
Halliburton gets there quicker than George W. Bush or Dick Cheney does.
That's right.
So, with regard to how Kenyon gets into Louisiana, did the governor have anything to do with this?
Apparently, the governor had nothing to do with actually bringing them in. The FEMA brought them in at the time when the governor was under a lot of pressure and had a lot of things to worry about. And FEMA said, "Okay, these are the people you need to take care of this recovery effort," and FEMA was, in fact, supposed to sign the contract.
Now, this is Brownie, right?
Yes.
All right.
But, of course, this is the typical, you know, bungling of FEMA, that they couldn't even, they bring in a company, they actually have the workers sitting there. Kenyon is actually there, not working. And
we're paying $100,000 a day.
Right. And so Governor Blanco eventually signed the contract because she couldn't wait for FEMA anymore. And when the Department of Human Services in Louisiana was asked, you know, if they knew anything about Kenyon, they said no. They had no idea. They hadn't heard of any of this.
I read a story last week that after this had been brought to the attention of the governor, that she said that she was going to look into it. Do we know whether she has, and do we know if this contract is still a done deal?
Oh, I believe the contract is still a done deal. She may be looking into it, but
papers have been signed, and it's...
But the papers were signed. That's a contract. That's binding.
How are people... Are we... Is this story percolating with that, with, you know, all through the media here? Are people feeling this story, or is this just going to be another one of those Halliburton stories where people just have, I guess, corruption exhaustion and don't really hear these corruption stories anymore?
I think that's a large part of it. This story is not getting big national play in any way. And I think part of the reason for that is, you know, that there's so much going on in Louisiana and there's so many things to worry about that it sort of gets lost. But I think there is another aspect to it. To be fair, Kenyon is one of the largest companies of this type in the country. And I think some reporters think, well, even if they've had all these problems, they're the largest one, so it's not a surprise that they were hired. But again, I would say you didn't actually need the largest one here.
No, you didn't. And that was the argument, Melanie, that was used for Halliburton when they got their no-bid contract in Iraq. They're the largest company in the world. They're the only one that does what they do. We didn't. There wasn't anybody else to talk to. We go with these people because they're the number one. But Halliburton is in Louisiana. What? Nobody else can go buy trailers for people to live in but Halliburton?
I agree with you completely. I just think it's ridiculous to insist that only the very biggest, and, you know, part of the reason these companies become the very biggest is because they have connections with our government, and our government keeps paying them more and more money.
Talk about, you know, your welfare mother.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if you are going to criticize people for being on the public dole without deserving it, it would be these companies.
Well, I often find that sort of a typical view of Republicans, frankly, that, you know, corporate dole is always fine with them, but God forbid you give a dime to any, you know, poor person.
What do you think that would be, what could be done to move this story beyond where it is right now?
I think it's terrific that radio shows like yours, you're talking about it, because this is the way we're trying to talk on lots of on radio stations around the country so that people can become aware of this issue. I think awareness is sort of the key thing. The one thing we have done about it is we did send a letter to the Attorney General of Louisiana saying, look, this is a history we just think you should know about, so that you can keep your eye on this company, so that you can be sure, you know, they're not doing illegal things in Louisiana. And hopefully, if just the officials in Louisiana know, they'll be keeping an eye out, and at least hopefully we can stave off some of the problems SCI has had before.
And where can people get a copy of this story, Melanie?
They can find it on our website, which is www.citizensforethics.org.
Melanie Sloan, Executive Director for CREW. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
My pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back. Stay with me. We have much to talk about. We'll be taking your calls when we get back, so give us a call at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Much to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. There are several traffic signals in the St. Louis area that are out. MoDOT reminds motorists, state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals and treat it like it was a four-way stop. Eastbound 44 at 109, the left lane is blocked to remove a vehicle from an earlier accident. Expect slow traffic around that area. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month for maintenance. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road, that traffic is easing. Eastbound 70 from Zumbo all the way into 270 is flowing freely this hour. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall Road, you've got stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant, no problems there. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Hanley, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 from River de Pere all the way into Lafayette, no problems there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleese Landing, everything is on the move now. Eastbound 5570 at 4th Street, two center lanes are blocked for pothole patching, so use caution there. Baumgartner and Hintz, look for restrictions due to a knockdown power pole. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Stop by Fazoli's and try Baghetti. It's a new oven-baked sandwich served on ciabatta bread and served wrapped, perfect for on-the-go. Better get a Baghetti only at Fazoli's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday mostly sunny with a high around 90. Wednesday evening partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 70 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting overcast skies, some sprinkles, and 70 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Us up next, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 920 AM 5:30. Sunday nights, sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll-free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Why do black Americans shy away from the Republican Party? Is it because the black voters are sick and tired of the GOP playing on racial fears and hatred to get the support of white conservatives? Which party consistently opposes making Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday? Will the hurricane disaster forever doom the Republicans from any support from people of color? Some questions to consider when Professor Michael Fauntroy joins Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning at 9 to look at America's changing political landscape.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a little something to help you get through the day, if you could. It was more than a tragedy. Emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky. We trying to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God. Who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man. Make plans. Listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions. We should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives and dies? Breathes and stops. All this judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. This is Hope. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you, Hope?
I am just fine. I was listening to your discussion about interesting contracts, and I thought I'd remind your listeners of another interesting contract. Do your listeners know who is contracting to restructure the educational program in Louisiana?
Bill Roberti.
Bill
Roberti. As a matter of fact, I got a call from the Wall Street Journal on Friday. They called to talk to me about the issue of Roberti in Louisiana and what I thought about that. So yeah, Hurricane Katrina, I had hoped had washed them away, but they're still there.
Yes, exactly right, Liz. Exactly right. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Hope.
Bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Teachers haven't been paid, thanks to Bill Roberti in Louisiana. They can't find tens of millions of dollars to pay teachers. Go figure. What are the odds of Bill Roberti and Say John George losing money and screwing teachers? You know, what are the odds of that? I wouldn't take that bet. I wouldn't take that bet. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And we have some interesting audio that Joe's putting together now that I think is important to for you to hear and for you to feel, because it really takes us to the place where about this administration and about those that run with this administration. If you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. My mama said, my daddy said, you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. And we're going to give you some audio to underscore those words of wisdom. But we have it already? We got it already? Okay, I want you to hear this because we've had Barbara Bush say that black folks are better off living in the Astrodome on cots with not a penny to their name and clothes on, only the clothes on their backs, than they were in living in Louisiana, or that they're kind of used to this. We've had George Bush not coming up off of vacation. We had Dick Cheney not coming up off vacation. We have Condoleezza Rice buying $1,000 Ferragamo shoes in New York, going checking out plays and going to watch the U.S. Open while people are dying in her own state. We have Kanye West saying George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. We have people like clerics that advocate for the murder of people that are presidents of other countries. What does this say about this administration, and what does it say about the friends of this administration? Here's what Bill O'Reilly said on his show.
I just wish Katrina had only hit the United Nations building.
Oh,
nothing else. Just had flooded them out. And I wouldn't have rescued them.
Huh? What would happen to someone who would say, I wish that Katrina would have hit the Fox News network, and we just leave the dead bodies floating in the water there, you don't rescue them? That would be a horrible and profane thing to say, to wish the murder, to wish the deaths, to wish the killings, to say out your mouth that you wish people were dead, people who you've never even met. You wish they were dead. What kind of monster does this make you? Oh, yeah, the sexual pervert monster that you are. These are in incredible times that we live in. And these are the friends and the advocates of the Bush administration. You sleep with dogs. You wake up with fleas. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're rolling, but we'll be back.
Baile para que, baile musebetsin. Baile para que, baile musebetsin. Makanisi konango, mensa fanta elenaga. Makanisi konango, mensa fanta elenaga. Baile para que, baile musebetsin.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. The Bush administration has given us a glimpse now of how it intends to pay the price tag to rebuild the Gulf Coast area. Slashing entitlement programs. The Medicaid program will lose about $60 billion over the next 10 years. There's already a hint dropped that the Medicare prescription drug program is going to be delayed now for some time. Even the untouchable Social Security program could be facing some cuts. Last Friday, the government announced that Medicare premiums will be going up by 13% next year. Food stamps are also likely to be slashed to about 250,000 recipients. And federal subsidies for housing for the poor will also be cut. Strangely enough, there has been no outcry to repeal the tax cuts the Bush administration passed during its first term. Those cuts are going to cost the government about $2 trillion over 10 years. And that's more than enough to cover the damage wrought by Hurricane Katrina several times over. Nor have any military cuts been mentioned either. That's another huge expenditure that comes in at around $500 billion a year.
This is your wake-up call global news update.
The Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee, invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th. He's black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live. Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free. 866-361-9191. It's Farrakhan Live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Why do black Americans shy away from the Republican Party? Is it because the black voters are sick and tired of the GOP playing on racial fears and hatred to get the support of white conservatives? Which party consistently opposes making Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday? Will the hurricane disaster forever doom the Republicans from any support from people of color? Some questions to consider when Professor Michael Fauntroy joins Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning at 9 to look at America's changing political landscape. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
It's starting to get so weak. Oh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne. Was a sweet. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We've heard about floating bodies in the aftermath of Katrina. We're going to continue to hear about just government gluttony and looting as a result of the aftermath of Katrina. We've heard a little bit about toxic waste as a result of Katrina, but our good government is saying, oh no, we've tested the water, it's fine, jump in, it's fine. The same government that said that there's no global warming has said that there's not much to worry about insofar as environmental toxicity as a result of Katrina. Here's something that you probably haven't heard about. As the rising floodwaters swamped New Orleans, Louisiana's chief epidemiologist enlisted state police on a mission. Really? On a mission for what? They got the state police to break into a high-security governmental lab. Why?
in order to destroy dangerous germs before they could escape or fall into the wrong hands. That's right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. It's not just oil that we have to worry about polluting or providing a toxicity to the environment in the aftermath of Katrina. It's joins, man-made joins. Armed with bolt cutters and bleach, Dr. Ralu Rassard's team entered the state's so-called hot lab and killed all of the living samples. This is what had to be done, said Rattard, who matter-of-factly put an end to his lab's work on dangerous germs, which he wouldn't name. He won't even tell us what they had. Yep, they used bleach to kill them. At least some of Rattard's team was able to retrieve laptop computers containing vital scientific data. Many other scientists in the region, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, were not so fortunate. Losing years of research either through storm damage or voluntary destruction. Not since the torrential floods from Tropical Storm Allison, which badly damaged the Texas Medical Center in 2001, has scientific research been disrupted on such a large scale. Have y'all heard about this? You know about this? Doctors and researchers in the Crescent City became exiles overnight, indefinitely locked out of their labs and unable to see their patients. Thousands, you hear me? Thousands of laboratory animals, many genetically engineered with human diseases like cancer, and painstakingly bred and cared for, perished along with vital tissue samples thawed in abandoned labs. Oh, this is putting the game face on this baby. If you needed to destroy it with bleach, do you think that soaking in flood water is going to kill it? LSU lost all of its 8,000 lab animals, including mice, rats, dogs, and monkeys. Many drowned. Others died without food and water. The rest were euthanized. 300 federally funded projects at New Orleans colleges and universities, more than $150 million, including 153 projects at Tulane, gone. Frozen urine and blood samples from thousands of patients enrolled at a Bogalusa heart study, the world's largest racial studies of risk factors for heart disease, gone. This is a dramatic blow to our research. They say, and this is reported, but I don't believe it, I've lived too long, I've seen too much, I've read too much, I know too much, and so do you, to believe this. This AP article says that one thin silver lining to all of the lab damages. It appears that no deadly diseases were released from the area's hot labs, where researchers routinely handle and store some of the world's most dangerous germs. Y'all believe that? And let me ask you this. If you do believe it, let me ask you this. Do you believe they would tell you if they had lost some of this stuff? Do you believe that they would tell you if they had done this stuff? And let me ask you this. Don't you think that these doctors have had to, you in the past, under the perfect circumstances, under their protocol, don't you think that they have found that it's necessary to use something a little bit stronger than bleach to kill this stuff. So baby boy, all he was armed with was a jug of bleach when he walked, you know, when he walked up into the lab to kill off stuff that was designed to, I don't think their protocol says get a jug of bleach. I think their protocol says get us something a lot stronger than that, and he didn't have access to the stuff that was stronger than that. And let me ask you this. Do you think that a pair of bolt cutters was enough to get into the labs to free this stuff? You think all they had was just a little padlock on the doors to get into? Remember, there's no electricity. A lot of these, all of these labs are operated by electricity and computer codes and passwords and electric door. You've seen it on television. Come on. These electric doors that slide open and then you put in another code and another electric. The electricity is off. Armed with a pair of bolt cutters and a jug of bleach, I don't think that he got everything in this hot lab. And I think he knows it. And I think that, you know what, you want the proof or the evidence of whether or not he got all the stuff in the hot lab? Find out where his address is a year after Katrina. See if he's living in Louisiana in the year after Katrina, or if he's moved his family to high ground. Because in this article it says he's not going back to his lab. You think? I know why, and so do you. Lord have mercy. We have so much stuff to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. In the wake of Katrina, in the wake of the Republican response, in the wake of Kanye West, George Bush doesn't like black people. We're going to be talking to Michael Fauntroy about why black people are not going Republican. It's simple. George Bush doesn't like black people. And neither does his mama. Neither did his daddy. And neither did his daddy before him. And neither does his party. I'm Liz Brown. Oh, Lord, we ain't done here yet. Fasten your seatbelts. Got an hour left. Stay with me. After the news, I'll be back.
WGMU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
And Chris Sisko at the National Hurricane Center has the news that New Orleans has been dreading.
As we look out in the next day or two, it'll emerge into the Gulf of Mexico, and later on in the week probably affect portions of Texas and Louisiana.
Will the already weakened levees in New Orleans make it through this storm? ABC's Bob Woodruff is in New Orleans.
The Army Corps of Engineers do not know exactly how much these levees can take. They believe another 5 to 10 feet of storm surge or 3 inches of rain over a six-hour period. Anything more than that could overwhelm the levees.
Louisiana Senator Kathleen Blanco has already warned everyone to make evacuation preparations now.
Think about keeping your family together and on independent resources for several days.
With the hurricane likely to head into the Gulf of Mexico, Texas is getting ready to move them out. Reporter Tracy Evans is in Galveston.
The state law that allows mayors to go ahead and issue a mandatory evacuation order is new. That only happened out of the last legislative session. So if it is announced today, it will be the first time Galveston residents have been ordered to get out.
If that evacuation is mandatory today, people without vehicles will be bussed out. President Bush left the White House a short while ago en route to Mississippi and Louisiana for his fifth visit to the hurricane zone. It's been a bad day in Iraq. 4 Army soldiers attached to the 2nd Marine Division were killed in 2 roadside bomb incidents near Ramadi, and a 5th soldier died in a blast north of Baghdad. Federal Reserve policymakers are expected to increase interest rates a quarter point at this afternoon's meeting. And OPEC oil ministers meeting in Vienna have reportedly agreed to increase daily output by 2 million barrels to help ease worries about supplies. This is ABC News.
I'm going to let you in on a secret that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on insurance. Listen up. When you pay your bills on time and keep your debts low, you keep your credit healthy. But did you know that in many states, your good credit may also save you on auto or home insurance? Winning advice in a moment.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 customized offers that you can compare and act on instantly. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Did you know that insurance companies now look at credit scores to set premiums? They point to recent studies that say people with poor credit are more likely to file claims, while people with good credit tend to file fewer claims. What's the bottom line? Like it or not, your good credit is not just the key to lower interest rates on mortgages and other loans. It can also be the key to lower insurance premiums and a whole lot more.
Louisiana isn't the only state where there's serious worry about weak levees. ABC's Alex Stone says California authorities have the same concerns.
There are levees all around Sacramento holding water in the massive San Joaquin Delta. Engineers say if a major earthquake struck that area, there is a serious concern those levees would break and much of Sacramento would be underwater. There are pumps just like those in New Orleans, but not enough of them. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is asking the federal government for $90 million to improve the levees.
As many as 20,000 customers in Southern California were without electricity at one point after lightning storms damaged power lines and other equipment. The National Weather Service says there will be more lightning, rain, and gusty wind across L.A. County today. Forecasters are keeping an eye on a couple of hurricanes in the Pacific. Hurricane Jova could dump heavy rain on the Hawaiian Islands by late Friday. Hurricane Kenneth is farther away. It's already Category 4. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Hunter Ferengmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, get ready to see an increase at the gas pump. Joe Williams of the Commerce Trust Company says Tropical Storm Rita is already driving up the cost of oil, and that will likely cause an increase in prices at the gas pump, especially because the storm is headed towards the Gulf Coast.
So all the Gulf is going to shut down once again. So that's going to create shortages of the oil and natural gas, since it does provide about 35% of the natural gas and quite a bit of the oil as well.
Williams says the prices at the pump will eventually come down and stabilize, but not during hurricane season. Oil prices yesterday spiked more than $4 a barrel as Tropical Storm Rita headed for the Gulf of Mexico. Voters in the 24th Ward of St. Louis City will head to the polls today to decide whether to recall their aldermen. Members of the Friends of the 24th Ward say they want Tom Bauer out of office because of issues over eminent domain. Bauer says the claims made by those who want him recalled are untrue, and the recall is about stopping progress in the ward. The polls will be open in the 24th Ward from 6 this morning until 7 tonight. Missouri Senator Kit Bond is being honored for his help in housing people who face a life-threatening disease. The National AIDS Housing Coalition yesterday presented Bond with an award for outstanding leadership in providing housing for those living with HIV and AIDS. Bond's work with Doorways, a St. Louis Interfaith AIDS Residence Program, was particularly noted. Community leaders and representatives from the area's major religious denominations founded Doorways in 1988 to address the growing need for housing for HIV and AIDS patients. Finally this hour, the new Reese Witherspoon film, Just Like Heaven, was tops with moviegoers this weekend. The film raked in an estimated $16.5 million in its opening weekend to debut at the top of the box office. Last weekend's box office champ, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, was second with $15.3 million, followed by the new Nicolas Cage crime thriller Lord of War at number 3 with $9.2 million. Coming in at number 4 was The 40-Year-Old Virgin with an estimated $5.8 million, and the new teen thriller Cry Wolf rounded out the top 5 with $4.6 million in box office receipts. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Prevention Magazine's Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Prevention, America's most trusted health magazine, is proud to introduce Prevention Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Help achieve optimum health with Prevention, available at GNC and fine independent pharmacies. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chevrolet. There are several traffic signals out in the St. Louis area. MoDOT reminds motorists state law requires vehicles to come to a complete stop at all dark signals and treat it as though it were a four-way stop. Eastbound 44-109, left lane is blocked as they remove a vehicle from an earlier accident. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge, there is an accident. Their right lane is blocked and there's a short backup. Eastbound 70 Grand, a vehicle on fire, quarterly on the exit ramp. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge, look for no problems reported there. Northbound 270 is bumper to bumper on either side of 44 in your 9 o'clock commute. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to New Florissant, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for normal traffic. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and Potomac, no problems there. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 40 between 14th and Broadway, look for left lane to be closed. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight, there's slow-moving maintenance vehicles, so left lane will be closed, and traffic backs up all the way to 170. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street from Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the landing, that traffic has returned back to normal. And eastbound 5570 at 4th Street, two center lanes are blocked, closed right now for pothole patching. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chevrolet. Now get Chevy employee pricing for everyone on 06 full-size trucks. That's the Chevy Total Value Promise. It excludes medium-duty trucks. See participating dealers for details. Take delivery by the 30th of this month. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday for today. Partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently in the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget, we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. 1-877-920-WGNU is the number. 454-0400 is the phone number. Let me get to this caller. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, man.
Yes,
how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was just calling in to see if did you hear anything about the mayor turning down the people to come back home in Louisiana? Is it because of the new hurricane?
That's what he has said. That's what the latest report is that the mayor has, because of this new hurricane that's bearing down on Florida, that may turn into, that is headed for Texas and may hit the Louisiana coast again. He is saying, don't come back yet. If you're coming back to, I think some part of his quote was, if you're coming back in to save some soggy belongings, it's not worth your life. You need to stay put until this hurricane passes.
Okay. Now, him and Bush still is gonna have a face off, right? Or did they cancel that since the other hurricane came through?
I don't know. I'm not aware of a face off between he and Bush. I know of a face off between he and, I believe it's a general within the National Guard that he was supposed to have a face off with. I do want to say, I want to be clear on this. I was very pleased at what this mayor said about when he was very in the midst of, in the height of Katrina, about what he said about not letting people come for another photo, they don't need another blank 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 photo op. But then he came after he talked to Bush. And he, his attitude or his energy, or he appeared as if he had pulled back as a result of that. And that was a mistake on his part, because the one thing that has remained unchanged in the aftermath of Katrina is going after this man by people on the right. They have been relentless and ceaseless in their effort to make this the fault of a black man. And as a matter of fact, there is a quote that I wish I had in front of me with a reporter that was on the Fox News Network who was talking about how white people love what George Bush, white people in the French Quarter love George Bush, and they blame 100% of this at the feet of this black mayor. So he shouldn't have, from my perspective, he should have kept it on, because they're going to keep it on coming after him. It is about race, and they're coming after you because you are black, to put the face of crime on you.
And then another reason I think it's about their race is because they won't even tell us the facts about anything that go on, about anything that goes on as far as government. They will not tell us the truth. They only tell us what they want us to hear. And then when it gets bad, then they want to tell everybody at the last minute.
Well,
another thing I want to say is they do a lot of brainwashing in the government, because the government start off brainwashing you K-12. That's why they set up the school systems and things like that. They teach you what they want you to know and what you wanted to think happened. But if you all go back and you think about some of the stories that they put in front of you, some of the facts that they put in front of you, they contradict themselves. You understand? They show you one thing and they say, oh, this was happening at this time. And it really, the daylight and the time frame that things happen is not even coincident that it can happen like
that. But that's why you have a responsibility. The community has a responsibility. Everybody has a responsibility. I came out of the womb questioning authority. I was taught to question authority. I was taught to challenge authority. I was taught to confront the issue of race and racism in this country from the moment I learned how to read, from the moment I taught, from the moment I came out of the womb. We have a responsibility to do that, and we also have a responsibility to understand and to recognize the weight that is put upon us and the heat that is directed towards us. Yes, you are told propaganda. Black and white America is told propaganda. White America, I think that we're two generations into young people who have been taught through the educational system to sacrifice their rights on the altar of law and order. We have military troops on the ground in Katrina, not National Guard, but military troops whose orders are always shoot first, kill first, and don't even question later. We are being turned into a police state, and we are being taught to accept this. So everybody's being taught to accept that. I, as a person of African descent, understand, because of where I am, who I am, and what I am, that this has been going on from day one, and particularly as it pertains to my people and my community.
I know, that's right. And I ain't going to take up too much of your time. There's one more thing. For the community, the black people and the white people and everybody that's listening now, the first president should be looked up and gone over again. Because we went back and found some information about Warren G. Horn, first African-American president. And we need to go back and look at some of the things that they've showed us over the years. And
I ain't quick to I'm not quick to claim anybody that ain't claiming me.
I know that.
All right.
I
got to go. Got to go. Right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. In the midst, there are so many stories, and there are so many stories in the midst of Katrina. There are so many stories that are being revealed as a result of Katrina. If you believe in God, you understand that you see God's work when it's in front of you. This is a revealing, and I don't mean revelations from the Bible. I mean revelation in the terms of an opportunity to discuss some issues that America has run from, lied about, or ignored for every moment that America has existed on this planet Earth. And that's the issue of race, and that's the issue of class, but race in particular. And I, as a woman of African descent, have been very troubled in recent days, in recent years, as I watch the machinery of this administration, the well-oiled, heavily financed, obscenely financed political machine of the Republican Party roll across this country and gathering up bits and pieces that appear to be gathering up bits and pieces of the community of African descent. I've seen black preachers from mega churches looking after that mega money, standing next to this administration, advocating some of its issues. But I think baby Kanye West has gotten some of them straight, some of them shamed a little bit. George W. Bush doesn't like black people. Now what? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about, I think that we're probably for a long period of time going to be talking about thing pre-Katrina and post-Katrina. So let's talk about the relationship of the community of African descent and the Republican Party post-Katrina. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Michael Fauntroy, author, assistant professor at George Mason University. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Not right now. Well, how are Republicans doing with black folks post-Katrina?
Well, to use your pre-Katrina, post-Katrina paradigm, things are as bad now as they have ever been, and they're likely to get worse before they get better. You know, the party has in the pre-Katrina environment, particularly in the immediate pre-Katrina environment, have begun to put some infrastructure in place to really seriously go after black voters. Now, you know, time would have only been able to tell whether or not those efforts would have been successful.
It looked like if they were picking up bits and pieces,
right,
weren't they?
Yeah, but the point is that for the first time, you could see serious work as opposed
mm-hmm.
to some of the talk that had been taking place
mm-hmm.
over the last 20 or so years. I mean, this isn't a new song that the GOP has been singing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only been about in the last couple years that you see this take place most seriously. Now, all of that work has literally been sort of washed away, to use a bad analogy, because now Republicans have to defend their poor performance, or rather the poor performance of the federal government in the eyes of black people.
And they can't respond to George Bush doesn't like black people.
Well, listen, it's a hard argument. It's a hard argument for them to go against.
What you going to say?
The Republicans have controlled the House of Representatives for 10 years now. They've controlled the Senate for nearly as long, and they've controlled the White House for 16 out of the last 24 years, okay? So they are in charge and have been in charge. So any responsibility for federal action on this has to be laid at their feet. And they don't have a good argument for this. I mean, I've been doing interviews and talking with folks on this book that I'm working on, and, you know, one of the questions that I'm asking is, who among us believes that the federal response to Katrina would have been the same in Austin, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona,
or Nantucket,
or Nantucket, as opposed to New Orleans, and that's really what this is about. And because they can't answer those questions sufficiently, it leaves only the explanation: this is about race and class.
And also, Michael, there is a demand. The situation, the times of post Katrina demands that we have this discussion, and their response to that demand about the discussion will also be evaluated in terms of whether or not any black folks were going to hook up with them. And they're running from the conversation.
Yeah, well, they're running from the conversation because actually having the conversation makes them look even worse.
Fair enough.
Aftermath of all this, Scott McClellan and other Republican operatives were saying, we don't want to get into the blame game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want to play this game. We want to focus on helping people on the ground in New Orleans. Well, there's a reason for that, and that is because any honest, independent assessment of their performance, not just on Katrina, but on a range of other issues that are important to black people, and for that matter, to people of color and the poor people around the country, has been abysmal.
And in all fairness, Michael, anybody that says that we don't want to get in the blame game is usually to blame.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're the ones that are at fault.
No, there's no doubt about that.
And it's almost like this perfect storm of evidence coming together, or inescapable evidence coming together about their view of black folks, from his mama to his daddy to Condoleezza Rice to Dick Cheney. Everybody is unintentionally confessing.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, what's curious about this as it relates to George Herbert Walker Bush is, you know, he more so than his son, and certainly more so than his wife, had some connections, particularly during his days in Connecticut, that were relatively progressive on racial issues. And to see this family, which had such an opportunity to take the Republican Party in a new direction on race, literally drop the ball has been unfortunate. But at the same time, you have to remember, the party is controlled by conservatives, and conservatives are those who are most resistant to change in the status quo. So any attempt to sort of equalize things or make things relevant to people in terms of race is going to be resisted. So I think that has a lot to do with it also.
And we can also look at some of the actions that Georgia, the instinctual actions, because people are evaluated, and I think fairly, by how do you instinctively respond to a racist joke? How do you instinctively respond to a circumstance as opposed to when you've had a week to decide how you're going to do it or going to respond to something? We can evaluate the press conference that George Bush held, the first press conference that he held, and who we held it with as to his feelings about race and class, can't we?
Well, I think there's no question about that. And I would add the press conference he held with Governor Riley of Alabama, Governor Barber of Mississippi, and FEMA Director Michael Brown, where he said, you know, Brandon, you're doing a great job. I think that reveals a lack of understanding or empathy with what's really going on on the ground in people's everyday lives. Now, let me also add, it's not just Bush. It's the entire party, and this party is having to respond to a century-long history, actually more than a century-long history, of literally turning away from its historic commitment to racial equality. So when you talked about this sort of instinctive reactions, I mean, think about the reaction to Trent Lott's statements with regard to Strom Thurmond on his 100th birthday. You know, that is yet another example of where the party is, where it rhapsodizes about a bygone era that places black folks in a subservient position.
Well, we'd all be better off if he had been president. We wouldn't have had to deal with all this mess.
Yeah, there you go.
And also, one of the things I think that we don't even have to go back that far when we look at this so-called, I think that this was like getting on this road towards gathering up black people for the Republican Party, this so-called apology for not having a law against lynching.
Yeah.
The two senators from Alabama said, no, I ain't voting. We aren't going to take a voice. I mean, we're not going to take a roll call,
yeah.
And I ain't going to vote for this.
Well, here's what's really curious about this. And, again, this is one of the number of things that the Republicans have not sort of squared away with in their quest for black votes. There were 84 co-sponsors of that Senate resolution. 16 members didn't co-sponsor the resolution. 15 of the 16 members were Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, you know, Kit Relman and those who profess to be serious about winning black votes have to go into black communities around the country with that kind of carrying that sort of baggage. And while they can cozy up to T.D. Jakes and other mega church leaders.
Hanging out the carrot of church money, faith-based money.
Yeah, let's be clear about faith-based money as well. That is, in some respects, an opportunity to use government money to buy off support from people who can be bought off.
And we need to take a break. I'm talking to Michael Fauntroy, author, professor at George Mason University. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the issue of post-Katrina. How's that working out for the Republican Party gathering up black support? How's that working out? We'll be back.
GNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Experience the gravity-defying feats and thrilling performance of the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Featuring spectacular costuming, beautiful production, and dramatic interpretation of classic Chinese dance and physical art. Discover the beauty of China's national treasure, the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. call 417-336-8888. That's 417-336-8888.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll-free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Baby, don't cry. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We also are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour. We're always available for you. The wake-up call is. So you need to take advantage of that. And I am talking to you this morning because we're talking about the aftermath, post-Katrina, how it's affecting all kinds of things. And specifically, we're talking about after Katrina and the Republican Party's efforts to reach out to the community of African descent and to get them to join them on the Republican bandwagon. To facilitate this conversation, I have with me this morning Michael Fauntroy, author, professor at George Mason University, joining us from Washington, D.C. Michael, in your article, you talk about, in this article that pertains to this issue, you talk about the anger of black folks. And I want to play a little clip here to see if and then have you comment on the anger of African people and if this comments like this contribute to that anger and if that anger is legitimate.
Okay.
All right, go right ahead. Rush, track two.
Can I make it real simple for you? A hurricane hit New Orleans. George Bush doesn't live there. George Bush is in Washington. How can he possibly be to blame for this? If we want to play the blame game, and remember what I've said about this, I cannot watch this drivel and bilge on television day in and day out, hour after hour, where I see this administration once again savaged and attacked, this administration blamed with all kinds of outrageous. I just can't sit here and let it go by and laugh it off. If the elite media is going to start pointing fingers, well, then, by God, folks, we're going to point them in the right direction. And if that's uncomfortable for you to hear, so be it.
And okay,
life's not easy.
Okay, so we need a black face is what he's saying. We need a black face. And track three is Barb. So here's the other. I want to put those two voices, these two voices next together. We have Rush Limbaugh saying that it's not George Bush's fault because he doesn't live in Louisiana. And
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
These are poor folks anyway. They hit the lottery. Living in the dome there in Houston. Michael, are black folks mad, and should they be mad at this at Republicans? I'm just asking.
These statements are so predictable and so part of a long pattern of conservative thought toward African Americans. Now, as it relates to Rush Limbaugh's comment, one of the things that Republicans are doing now are saying, they're sort of trying to change the discussion. They're trying to suggest that people are blaming George Bush for the hurricane or for not stopping the hurricane or something insane like that. When in actuality, what people are focused on is the federal response to the hurricane, to the flooding, actually.
There's
Pat
Robertson would blame somebody for not being able to stop a hurricane.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's madness.
Yeah, the federal government under Republican leadership for a decade or more has cut FEMA's budget that would have provided the kind of money necessary to shore up the levees. So when you talk about playing the blame game, all we're trying to do is find out where responsibility lies. Again, this is supposed to be an accountability administration. And by the way, you may have heard today that a staff member in the Bush administration has been arrested in a corruption probe, and that'll be some big news going forward.
Absolutely.
But the point is, Limbaugh has it wrong. He didn't say blame this black mayor, who, by the way, used to be a Republican. He said, he used amorphous terms, but he was very clear in what he was trying to, in the point that he was trying to make. Now, as it relates to Barbara Bush, this is an example of people who feel what they feel and say what they want to say and have often been able to say these kinds of things in the comfort and privacy of their own inner circles without having them be broadcast.
And imagine, Michael, what she says when she's not in front of a camera.
Well, listen, public people are always more honest in private than they are in public. And so one can only imagine the sorts of thoughts that she has. It's unfortunate because this statement in the minds of a lot of people is going to be her Trent Lott, Strom Thurmond sort of statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on her epitaph when she's done.
And as well as should be.
Well, don't get me wrong.
She earned every bit of that.
And much of the problem with the Republican Party as it relates to African Americans is that they have earned the reputation they got. You know, Republicans are unpopular in the black community because of some elite media. They're unpopular in the black community because of 130 years worth of public policy and scandalous politics that have made them unpopular in the black community.
And it's
they earned it.
And it's not because your name is George Bush. It's because if you do the things that, if your name were Bobby Jones and you were behaving the same way, the reaction to you would be exactly the same.
If your name were Tyrone Jackson.
There you go.
You'd be the response.
No, Tyrone Washington. Tyrone Washington.
Because this is really about competence.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's yes, really what the bottom line of all this is. Incompetent people, decisions by incompetent people led to people dying.
Absolutely.
There's no way you can look away from that.
Let me get to some of our callers here. Carphone, you have a question or comment for our guest, Michael Fauntroy.
Yes, Mike. I wanted to know, do you think that the government is brainwashing our politics?
Thanks for your call.
Do I think our government is brainwashing our politicians? I wouldn't go that far, but I will say that popular culture is brainwashing our citizens. And when you look at the sort of imagery that people are confronted with every single day, I think that it provides a distorted view of humanity and what people should be about and what government should be about. And as a result, that's, to me, where the problem is.
And do you think that, and I want to get back to some of the callers, but do you think that we are going to start feeling what has been coined in the press as catastrophe fatigue, that people are going to get tired of this Katrina story?
Well, yes. There's no question about that. You know, there is a long history of fatigue, be it, you know, compassion fatigue for the civil rights efforts and or compassion fatigue for women's rights movement and so on and so forth. I think a lot of that is human nature. You'll recall that when America first saw the video of Rodney King being assaulted by those police officers, everyone was in shock.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time the trial ended, they'd seen the video 1,000 times, and it didn't have the same impact. So it stands to reason that human nature, once it sees something and becomes accustomed to it and sees it over and over and over again, there sets in a little fatigue in that regard.
But I think out of that fatigue, if the Democrats were smart, because as bad as the Republicans are, what the Democrats are doing, because it's worse in a lot of ways simply because I have a different expectation. And you're looking at me and saying that I am this way, and you're lying to my face. The Democrats have not... Many of the Democrats, outside of the John Conyers and the Maxine Waters, many of the Democrats have either sidestepped this or not jumped on this baby and rode it home.
Well, there's a reason for that. That is because conservatives, particularly Republican conservatives, have done a great job in the last decade or so in sort of chilling discussions, honest and open discussions on race in America. Since the O.J. Simpson trial, it seems to me, anytime some issue is brought up that has race as a component, people want to have an honest dialogue about it. Conservatives say, oh, you're playing the race card.
And I've always believed that if there's a race card out there for me to play, you know, how do I play it and gain an advantage in doing so?
Right. So by charging that someone is playing the race card, what they are in fact doing is avoiding a discussion.
There you go.
So these things go on and on and on over time. And as a result, you know, people become coward, and the Democrats are prime examples in that regard.
I was looking at this incredible, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to see this yet, Michael, this incredible, the transcript of an incredible speech given by John Kerry at Brown University yesterday. John Kerry had this incredible analogy, and I just want to share this with you. This administration is recycling all of their failed policies and shipping them to Louisiana. After 4 years of ideological excess, these Washington Republicans have a bad hangover, and they can't think of anything to offer the Gulf Coast but the hair of the dog that bit them. Good stuff, right? As a writer, I know you appreciate that.
Yeah, he's on to something right there.
But
yeah.
in this, and I counted the words in this speech, it's this 2,000-word speech that's kicking their collective Republican behind. The word race is only mentioned once. And they call this the Katrina administration. He only mentions the word race once.
Well, again, there's a reason for that, and that is he can't win the Georgia primary if he's talking about race.
Mm.
He can't win the Florida primary or the Tennessee or West Virginia primaries if he mentions race overtly. We are now at a point where we were 50, 60 years ago in which to deal with racial issues, you have to be very obtuse, you have to be very sort of amorphous and very covert about it. And that's unfortunate, but...
I think it's cowardly. I think that there are enough black voters out there, enough people of color voters out there to win every election that you want to,
if you have the
fearlessness to do so.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because going forward as it relates to Republicans and the GOP and African Americans, the demography is going to require Republicans to chase after black votes. The country is becoming increasingly diverse and with a larger immigrant population. And statistics show that immigrants tend to vote more Democratic than Republican. So as the nation becomes more majority-minority, the GOP is going to have to figure out a way to get these votes. And when that happens, your point is absolutely right. My only disagreement, though, is that in many state and local races around the country, there's still not the critical mass of people. You have to remember, we have incarceration policies in this country that disfranchise critical masses of black people in southern states, in particular around the country. So it makes it more difficult to get these folks out to the polls.
I think it makes it more difficult, but despite that, Michael, there is something within people of African descent that gets them to the polls against all odds, that gets them to the that connect their quality of life with the politics that are practiced.
Yeah.
It's like mining in a field of ripe fruit. They're just not going out and mining that, because one of the reasons why there are a lot of black people that don't vote is because they have disconnected from the political process.
Yeah.
Just add water. I mean, you don't have to work a whole lot of real hard to get people to come back into the political process, and you can win with that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that. The voter turnout rates in the United States are lower than what we saw in the January election in Iraq.
Mm.
You know, and so it's not just black folks, but your point is absolutely well taken. I would argue that politics in general has a difficult time connecting to people to whom they cannot personally relate.
Mm-hmm.
And because the political process and our election laws and campaign finance laws are such that you now have to be of personal wealth to make the financial sacrifice that it would take to hold office. And as a result, only rich people can run. So rich people have less interaction and less connection to poor folks, so they're less likely to put forth and support policies that would be effective for them.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Michael Fauntroy, author, professor at George Mason University. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the disconnect between the community of African descent and the Republican Party and the reasons why, particularly post-Katrina. Stay with us.
For the media.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Caracas. In an interview yesterday, the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, says his nation will start to ship heating oil and diesel fuel at below market prices to poorer communities and schools here in the United States. Chavez says a pilot program will begin in Chicago on October 14th in a Mexican-American community. The program will then expand to New York and Boston in November. Although the Bush administration despises Chavez, his plan could be a godsend to many Americans living below the poverty line. Congress has already redirected a great deal of the funds normally used for winter heating help into the Hurricane Katrina relief effort. Chavez says the plan will set aside 10% of the 800,000 barrels of oil produced by Citgo refineries, which are controlled by the Venezuelan oil company, and ship that amount directly to schools, religious organizations, and nonprofit agencies in low-income communities. Chavez did advise American consumers to start thinking about the future, as the U.S. comprises a measly 5% of the world's population, yet uses one-fourth of the world's oil. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Michael Fontroy, author, associate professor at George Mason University, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the efforts of the Republican Party to bring in black participation, to get blacks to join up, sign up, hop on the Republican train post-Katrina. Michael, we're going to go to some of our callers.
Okay.
You have a question for our guest, William.
Oh, hello, Liz.
Yes, you have a question for our guest, Michael Fontroy.
Well, actually, Liz, I have a couple of questions, but I know you're strapped for time.
Right. So
okay, the situation with Hurricane Andrew as it pertained to the state of Florida years ago. When it destroyed Florida, a lot of Hispanic workers went down there and did the work. I just saw on CNN a lot of Hispanic workers at the Superdome, doing the work again with our friend Halliburton at the helm. How was it? And I noticed that your guest stated that they're using they're trying to get us to vote for them. And how will they get us to vote? Well, here's my thing right here, and I like his response. With the influx of what they're doing by leaving the borders porous. And the first thing out of Bush's mouth when he was elected was, well, let's give the illegal aliens amnesty.
Quickly call.
Do you really believe that they are really after our vote, or do they have another plan to push us aside and go after other votes?
Thanks for your call and question. Michael.
Well, they're not after just our votes. They need greater shares of Hispanic votes and Asian votes as well. But the imagery of nothing but Hispanic workers working on the Superdome or perhaps even working on most of the rest of New Orleans is going to be a difficult pill to swallow for many African Americans. I know here in D.C. and in Chicago and other cities around the country, you know, one of the questions is what happened to all the black construction workers?
There you go.
You know, and so, you know, you're going to have a difficult time going into black communities and saying, hey, look what we did to rebuild black New Orleans, when the question will naturally follow, okay, but how come no black folks were involved in the Reconstruction?
Let's get to another caller. Caller, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. The question I have is, how did these children become separated from their parents and stuff? Because, you know, watching CNN, I've never seen so many missing black children.
Okay.
I mean, a bunch of them just, you know, separated.
Okay, and that's going to be another issue that they're evaluating on. The response of bringing people back and black folks back into Louisiana and putting black families back together.
You know, I have a fear in this regard, and that is some of those parents who haven't been found yet are probably not alive. We just haven't found them yet. And that's going to put an additional strain on extended families and the adoption industry, which typically has a difficult time placing black children.
Let me get to another caller. Caller, you have a question or comment for our guest, Michael Fauntroy?
Yes. After hearing 40 years of come out and vote and not seeing one single black problem solved, what can we do collectively besides just a million-man march that really don't produce any results?
Well, we'll have a discussion about the results of a million-man march, but the caller's point is that what else is there besides voting?
Yeah, I would take a slight issue with the caller's point. I share and appreciate his frustration. But you can look at a number of public policy decisions that have had positive impacts on the black community. I don't know what it looks like in St. Louis, but I know in many places around the country, the expansion of the black middle class and the opportunities that have been brought forth through access to higher education have had a tremendous impact on improving the general condition of blacks in selected areas. I don't want to give you the impression that things are rosy everywhere, but things have improved. So I think you have to keep on that path. And the other thing is we really have to do more in terms of educating our kids, because a well-educated workforce is a workforce that can compete for 21st century jobs. And
what kind of education are you talking about, Michael?
Well, I'm talking about education in a number of ways. I'm talking about technical, talking about vocational, and I'm talking about college prep. In all of these areas, there's still going to be jobs that need to be filled. And if we're able to fill those jobs, then there's no reason for companies to rely on immigrants to do that work.
But if we educate our children, we give them great skills in different industries, and they don't have the other educational piece of a sense of community and a sense of responsibility to the community and collectiveness of the community, other ethnic communities will continue to grow, and ours will not be able to grow and prosper.
I want to suggest to you that community link doesn't need to be there.
Okay.
I believe it absolutely does.
Okay, that educational piece of it as well.
No question.
And you're writing a book?
Yes, I'm writing a book on the relationship between African Americans and the Republican Party. It should be out in early next year, and I want you and your listeners to know that if they're interested in the columns, they can read them at michaelfauntroy.com. That's F-A-U-N-T-R-O-Y.
Very good. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to help.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Have great guests for you, too. Great issues for you. Great information for you. If you missed anything, go check out whiterosesociety.org. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
Turn around, don't drown.
Governor Jeb Bush says if you haven't left the Florida Keys with Hurricane Rita on the way, then the best thing to do is to stay put. Nobody in central Louisiana or Mississippi wants to talk about Rita and Katrina in the same